The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
Oh, I should go now. Hey, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're in the middle of discussing the fate of Rex Ryan. But anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Paul says it's a fate of... incomplete?
It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium.
I'm just wondering if he's still a lame duck.
Really beautiful feet.
And
I think he looks funny now that he's skinny. He doesn't look the same when he's getting all, and he's pumping his fist and he's getting the guy.
Eating a bunch of cheeseburgers.
He looks different. He looked better as a fat guy.
All right, we're getting ready.
We're going to see another fat guy.
We're getting ready for the New Orleans Saints here on Sunday. 4:25 game here at Gillette Stadium. So we'll be talking about that. But of course, the big news is, will he or won't he?
I thought the big news was John Rook trying to run Tom Brady out of town.
Well, we'll talk about that, too. But will he or won't he? Rob Gronkowski.
It's the most I've looked forward to.
Albert Breer is reporting he is likely to play.
So does that mean Dr. James Andrews has cleared him to play?
Well, he is now the consulting expected physician. To make his season debut Sunday.
Yes. So everyone is...
Didn't we joke yesterday that, you know, just get Dr. James Andrews to clear? Didn't we joke that?
No, that was in one of the stories.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I think it's so strange.
I actually thought that's what you were referencing.
No,
when you brought
I was
up.
Referencing he's the god of orthopedics, and when he says it's right, and the fact that he's the Redskins team doctor, I think
but we don't
the
even
water
know
a little.
If this is an
like, what if they were playing the Redskins this week?
But we have no idea if this is even an orthopedic type thing that they're waiting to clear him on. I don't know. We just don't know. Anyway, all signs are pointing to him playing. The big revelation, we think, yesterday was Ed Werder's report saying that he's now been medically cleared to play. We didn't know.
No,
that's
not what it said. Expect him to
the
be
Patriots
medically
cleared. Are hoping that he's medically cleared
so
by doctors.
We didn't know that up to this point that
He hadn't been clear.
So,
and he may or may not have been.
Right.
Because the Globe reported he was going to play a couple weeks ago. So if we're going to believe reports, we got to be careful which ones we believe.
Right. So anyway, he's practicing. Also, for me, good news is that Stephen Ridley is back on the field.
Jim Brown's back. Patriots are okay.
You know, you can,
I actually just saw him in the tunnel.
You can laugh all you want and, you know, and mock, but I think
I am.
We're not suggesting that having him is worse than not having him. But you did sort of vault him to a level of like Gronk. Gronk to me is a player.
Game changer.
That you could argue, would they have won the game on Sunday with Gronk? I don't think you can make that argument with Ridley.
To me, I simply said it was a tipping point. It was like, okay, that's enough. It's just too much. Too much on the bench and not enough on the field. And, you know, so now if Ridley.
And you were right, by the way.
If
they lost.
Yeah. So. If Ridley's back and if Gronk is back. Okay, I'm starting to get a little bit more optimistic, but I said just because Gronk's back, you guys think he should be 8 to 10 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns.
You added the 10, but I said 8.
Yeah, and he's the one that thinks that.
Yeah, on the first game back,
if the Patriots expected, again, if we're going to believe all reports, everything that's written, the report was the Patriots expected or thought as of week 2, he was a consideration to play.
Yeah, but now we know or we think he may not have been a consideration.
We have no idea. Right. I'm just saying if I can believe that aspect of a report.
What do you
we
believe?
We are now for.
What do you believe?
I believe he's been relatively 100% or game ready for a few weeks.
You
now.
Do?
I do. But, you know, because again,
the,
I
what
had
about
a report.
The medically cleared part?
Well, but then well, I had another part where he was catching 17 practice catches and tackled and like, right. I mean. So again, we don't know who to believe when. And some of these reports are the same sources, by the way.
To me, it all depends on what were they waiting for to get him out there. Was it?
I don't think they were waiting for anything. I think he was waiting. And I think that is what you're seeing. Dr. James Andrews has consulted the family, right? That's what the
is
report
that true?
Was. Really? It said he's been consulting with the family, did not perform any of the surgeries, did not do any, but has he was brought in by the family, according to reports. So it gets back to Gronk didn't think he was ready, or his dad didn't think he was ready, or Drew Rosenhaus didn't think he was ready. The camp didn't think he was ready. So we're still where we were. That doesn't mean the Patriots were wrong, by the way. The Patriots may have been right. He may have been ready in week two.
So our medical could have cleared him.
Correct.
And he's waiting for his own second opinion to clear him.
Right.
Maybe.
No,
we just don't know.
We're saying that's a possibility.
Right.
Andy and I
mean, we're piecing this all together with reports, some of which we know have been wrong along the way, but we don't know which ones are also 100% true.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out what, you know, come up with four or five different hypotheticals as how all of these things could all be true. You know, it's right. Like, you know, let's try to cover the whole thing with a blanket and say, well, this could have happened, and then that could have happened. And technically, if you said this and that happened, then this would probably be true, even though he didn't play.
Right.
You know, and that's what we were trying to kind of piece it all together. But I think he's going to play on Sunday.
You do?
I think he's going to
play. I think he's going to play, and I think he's going to catch eight passes for 130 yards and two touchdowns.
Really? Do you think that's reasonable to expect?
He's been healthy
that?
For a month now.
Month and a half.
But, again, I go back to being in condition is one thing. Being in football condition is another, and he hasn't played since last year.
That's fine. Last time he played when he shouldn't have played, he wasn't healthy, he scored.
For him, it's like riding a bike. Just get right back on it.
Well, I won't say he's going to be at his best, but I think because he's so needed, it may lead to eight catches for 130 yards and two touchdowns. It
may also lead to 28 targets.
Right.
That may be, and I'm fine with that. He catches the ball the first time I throw it to him, well, so he's a leg up on everybody else.
I think we all agree that if he does play, get him involved right away. Make him a factor immediately.
At least make the defense think
right.
He's amazing.
Exactly.
Make the defense think he can do what I'm saying.
Right.
Even if he really can't,
yeah.
Make them believe he could burn me for a couple scores and all that.
Yeah.
Because they need the help.
How much of a factor do you think he would be in the running game?
Factor?
In-line blocking.
That's where I think there's more of your question. Is he strong? Is he conditioned? Because I actually think physically pounding-wise, that's harder to come back and do. I think it's easier to line up wide, go down, give a head fake, catch a pat. You know what I mean? The pounding of the running game, blocking play after play, I think that's more in question for me.
And personally, that's where I would try to get him his rest. If he's not ready for a full load, I would say, you know, let's not ask him to pound away 25 times in the running game.
Right.
Let's try to take advantage of his special skills as a receiver. You know, I think he's a good blocker. I think he's an elite receiver.
And on this team, he's an otherworldly receiver based on what else they got.
The other thing, you know, we should talk about is I'm getting all these emails about people questioning John Rook's sanity. After
I told
yesterday.
You, I can't wait for the crossover.
And what he's drinking.
I didn't hear the show, but I guess the
he's
bottom
ready to
line
move
is
on.
He's from Tom Brady.
Yeah, ready to move on from Brady.
Or
it's time to move on.
At posing the question, is it time to do that?
Yeah. My guess is that he didn't really say it like that, but that's the way it's been taken.
That's crazy.
Well, I will say one thing that kind of crept into my mind in my cynic jokingly. We said at the time when he signed his extension that it was a below market value. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe he's going to be paid what he's worth or even more than what he's worth by the time that gets around.
Well, we'll see. That's all to come. But
I am not. You know me. I said yesterday. He's way down the bottom of my blame pie meter or whatever you want to call it. When I start seeing guys catch the ball the first time and run crisp routes, then maybe I'll start asking what's wrong with Tom Brady. Oh, by the way, offensive line try to block somebody this week. Then I'll start criticizing Tom Brady.
What I think he needs to adjust is his mindset. I think
not your fault, Tom. Don't worry about it.
I think he needs, you know, a little bit of mental work. I think his mindset may be off right now. We get back to yesterday when we're talking about, you know, just go out and have fun. I know that's hard to do. When the
everybody
guys around
you,
right? Yeah, the guys around you aren't performing the way you need them to. But at the same time, you just got to keep going forward. You know, this is what you've got, so deal with it instead of, you know, in your mind after every play going over what could have been. You know, and I think that's affecting him. I think mentally he's being affected by all this. And you could honestly say, well, how could it not? I mean, can you blame him?
Right.
You know, but he's got to have that fortitude, you know, to be able to deal with it and not let it affect his play. Do your job. You know, if the ball's on target and they drop it, okay, move on.
Shucks. Yeah, but that's hard to do.
But don't let
we'll get it next time. Woo, having fun.
But don't let this get to the point where you think you need to be so precise that it's affecting your play.
But that's under the assumption that he's playing like crap.
Well, I don't think he's playing like crap, but I think it's affecting him a little bit. You talk about, you know, expecting the rush and, you know, that whole thing. And
but again, I think what you say can happen easier if he gets a little help. If the first time he hits somebody in the hands, they catch it and they make a nice play and it's not a double, triple catch, or the first time they call a pass play, they block the defensive line and don't just let him run unabated to him.
Right.
You know, that gets in his – it snowballs negatively. I think it can snowball positively.
Well, let's take one play in particular from Sunday, where the one where Dobson ran in and we assume he was supposed to run out and Brady just threw it to – the open field, and there was just no one there. I really think that Brady had time to see what Dobson was doing and either double pump and then go to him or go to somebody else. I didn't think he was under excessive pressure on that particular play where he had to just throw the ball blindly to where he thought Dobson was supposed to be.
I think he was throwing blindly. I think he was throwing to where he thought the ball should go on that
play. But he throw before the guy breaks. That's the play.
Well, yeah, but I think he knew that was a broken play and just threw it there to show Dobson
I think that's silly.
You think
he tried to show Dobson up?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
The play calls for something. I'm not going to blindly say Tom was right and the other guy was wrong.
No, but even if he was wrong.
The play calls for something.
But he was wrong in the course of the play. I don't know how much time you think NFL plays can last.
No, I know, but you really.
You can't wait till the guy breaks to the inside and then
throw. But I don't think Brady threw it before he broke.
Oh, I do. He was running straight down the field when he threw it. He threw it, the ball let go, and he went this way.
You think so?
Yep.
All right, well, then I'm wrong. I thought he had.
And just so you know, you're not alone. A lot of people have said that. I just wonder if any of them have, like, seen these plays that generally happen 25 yards downfield and when the ball gets thrown. You can't wait till the guy breaks into the clear in the end zone 30 yards away from where you are.
No, I know. But in that particular play, I thought he did.
And even if he – I mean, I just also don't think he has time to pump, do this, I mean, how long do plays last? Like 3 seconds?
I've seen people say that Dobson was wide open on the play to the inside. Not even taking into consideration where the ball went.
Who said that?
I don't want to throw someone under the bus because I'm not sure.
I don't think he was wide open. He was covered.
No, the way the play unfolded, and he threw the ball to the sideline, there was nobody there. But
right,
who knows?
There was no one at the sideline
saw the ball.
Exactly. The whole play changes.
Exactly.
I have no idea. I've also heard people say that the screen pass, and this I read in the Globe, Ben Volen, the screen pass that Bolden dropped could have been a 66-yard touchdown.
I doubt that.
There was nobody there, but to suggest that the first down is going to turn into a 66-yard touchdown.
I was hoping for 20 yards.
Right.
It would have been a nice game.
Right. It would have been a nice game. That was a big drop.
There were a lot of guys who could have taken angles on that.
I mean, to me, it's unfathomable that would have been a touchdown. 66 yards.
Right.
Tell us how you really feel. That's the most irresponsible.
To me, it's the epitome of guys that have never seen a football game. In the NFL, I mean, this isn't college where you get a sideline and no one gets an angle because the guy with the ball is just faster than everybody.
Right.
In the pros, they get the angle on you.
Right.
You know, someone will make the guy stop and get caught up in the wash, and like Dobson's play.
Right.
You know,
right.
Dobson was in the clear, and he still had to break three or four more tackles to get to the
and
end
bump
zone.
It
and,
his
he almost,
own teammate.
And he almost did. Yeah. He almost did get to the end zone.
Right.
But it requires breaking tackles.
Right.
To suggest that he was going 66 yards if he caught a pass behind the line of scrimmage, to me, is just silliness.
The epitome of irresponsibility.
No, it's the epitome of a guy who's never watched NFL games before.
Well,
but he's been covering the league for an extended period.
You can't watch NFL games if you think that every one of those is going for 60. Listen, Reggie Bush once in a while will take one. We'll see a guy on Sunday who has a chance to take like that. Darren Sproles.
Right.
How many do you see, though?
Right. Not a lot.
It's...
Check.
That really set him off.
Yeah. Well,
because we get to this point, like, it's like, You know, Bill said a few times we had all these missed opportunities after the game, and evidently all the media believed him because, you know, with that one drive that we had that traveled more than 35 yards, evidently it was all because we lost all these opportunities. We were in the red zone once all day. We didn't blow a lot of opportunities. They handed us 3 points at the end of the half, and they really handed us three more by getting screwed up on a crossing route. Other than that, we didn't move all day. Right. Bad, you know, bad game. Sometimes they happen. What are you going to do? You chalk it up and you move on to the next one. But evidently, we should have had a 66-yard touchdown on a screen pass to Brandon Bolden. I don't know. Rant over.
Okay. That was good. All right. Web Radio.
Now I'm going to go to the locker room.
Web Radio.
Now he's going to go be nice and play with a player.
Who are you interviewing today?
McCourty, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, are you late? I just noticed I had a missed call from Aaron.
I can go now, but no, I was told to be there at 12:30, but I will go down now.
You should also,
What?
I don't know if it's too late, but they have two cameras for Comcast, and they were going to leave one in the hallway, not get caught up in Brady, so in case you could do it early.
All right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline, 855-PASS-500. It's good we got that rant out of Paul before he had to leave for the locker room.
Yes, that was good, though. I enjoyed that. I have a little stat I just tweeted out. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, twice this year been below 50%, now has 12 games in his career where he's been below 50%, two this season. He hadn't had one since 2009, and he's never had more than two in a season, ever.
Wow.
So just to put his 2 out of 5 game struggles in perspective. Jeez, here.
It seems a long time ago in the preseason where we were just amazed at how precise the offense was performing.
Well, part of that, and I'm going to say it again, was the Philadelphia Eagles
right.
had a bad defense.
Right.
That was, we saw that.
Yeah.
But I also think some of it, the rookies have not only haven't progressed, they may have kind of gotten caught up in the negativity or the spotlight, whatever, and maybe have regressed a little, haven't been real comfortable, having fun, fluid, particularly Tompkins. I know we said it. I really don't like what I'm seeing from Tompkins in terms of his development early in his career.
Yeah.
I don't want to just say he's done, but I also won't be surprised if he's not a long-term solution.
He's being asked to do a lot for a guy that, you know, was an undrafted.
But not maximizing his opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like we saw with Brandon Bolden. He ended up catching a lot. I mean, Brandon Lloyd. He ended up catching a lot of passes, but when they could move on, they did. They chose to move on and go in a different direction. And I think right now, Kenbrell Tompkins is what you got.
Right.
But next year, when you're putting a roster together, you say, I'm not throwing him the ball 140 times to get 60 catches.
Yeah.
You know, we'll look for other ways to. So he could be a guy that could fall out of favor kind of as quickly as he came into favor here.
All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We've got emails coming in. Everybody wants to get involved. Okay, and Kevin, I thought you were making a hand motion. You're playing with your ball in there.
You only have one ball?
Chris is in Lunenburg. Hey, Chris.
I've always known you lack nuts.
Hey, guys, it's good to talk to you live. I had the day off from work. I didn't catch a whole show yesterday. I wanted to make sure that someone gave some love to the punter, Alan. He was great on Sunday.
Yes.
We did mention him a little bit, but yes, I think we said that we're not missing Zoltán Mezco.
Mesko's been bad in Pittsburgh, although I do think I cynically may have said, you know, he should be good. He's getting a lot of practice. but no, his numbers.
That was it. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks,
Alan's
Chris.
Numbers are huge. He has, I believe, 30 punts through 5 games. He's on pace to punt 96 times, which is way more than they've. I think Chris Hansen in 07, when they were great, punted like 38 times or something for the year, 40 times for the year. This is basically 50% more punts than even Mezco has ever had in his 3 years here. But I told you, the last time they punted 90 times, 88 times, was 2003. Right? Right? And they were good that year. They won the Super Bowl. They battled injuries. They went on a winning streak, all that. They formed. They had a soul. All of it. So, Fred, if you want to talk yourself into something.
Sure. I'm still all in.
Would you trade a first-round pick for Gerald McCoy? Do you know who Gerald McCoy is?
No.
Defensive lineman for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe
he's one of their best players.
Fourth pick in the draft
yeah.
a couple of years ago, 3-4 years ago.
Would you say second-round pick?
Or first. I mean, what would you do?
I'd give a second.
Had a conversation with somebody who thinks this team should be all in to get a defensive tackle. You know, there's been a, for NFL standards.
Oh, we should mention that they did pick up one today.
Chicken Neblets or something?
Aaron Neblett. He's Aaron Niblets. 25 years old. I think a 2 year veteran.
3 year veteran with the Panthers. 30 games, 7 starts, like 25 tackles. He's an experienced defensive tackle.
He's 310
pounds, 6 foot.
Only 6 foot, so he's very
little
squat.
fire hydrant. Built a little bit like you.
There was a guy Wheeler that the Patriots used to have in defensive tackle years ago.
Oh yeah, yeah,
built like
him.
That. Yeah,
but. You know, I don't know if that's just, we should say that Tommy Kelly was not on the practice field to open practice today, even though he said he was going to be all right, quote unquote.
Right.
So you need depth there. I mean, you can't just go in with Volano and Jones with no veteran.
Right.
So this guy was a veteran who was available. There was another, what were the, oh, they brought
they
back
brought
the guys on the
Canaris
practice
Davis
squad.
Davis and the other
yeah.
Davis.
Well, no, they went back.
Oh, they went back.
Yeah, they released him and put him back on the practice squad. Yeah. Marquise Cole is back on the active roster.
Yeah.
So. Getting his game checks in.
I did hear see an email about, you know, why do they keep doing that with Cole and
money?
It's money, and it's managing that shadow roster that you've got.
Right.
You know,
they're keeping the veteran who they clearly want as a member of this special teams unit, Marquise Cole, happy, paid, and in New England basically. And they're keeping, you know, bringing the young guys up. They're getting game checks, and they both played a good chunk on special teams the other day. And, yeah, they're just managing the bottom of the roster.
Let's get to the emails, webradio@patriots.com, unless you have anything else you want to bring up. You were mad at the Pro Bowl uniforms. I know you didn't like that.
You did?
I didn't mind the white one. The other one's got awful.
They're both hideous.
No, the white one looks like the Broncos home jersey. You know.
Why are fluorescent orange and fluorescent green now the colors?
That's the big color. All the kids love it.
I love orange more than anyone on the planet.
But you're not going to buy it. This is for the kids.
It's asinine. It truly is asinine that there's no rhyme or reason for anything.
Nike does their focus groups.
That's fine.
Yeah. And this is what they say.
I love Nike.
Neon is the hot color.
I think Nike puts out the best product in the sports, apparel, sneaker industry. This is a strikeout. They don't know jerseys. They get too wrapped up in fashion or different or whatever. The colors, regardless of AFC, NFC, I know that's gone. The colors of the NFL, the shield, are still red, white, and blue. The colors, in my opinion, of All-Star games, because All-Star games generally have an American feel to them, are red, white, and blue. Not fluorescent orange and fluorescent green.
I don't mind. I don't mind going off the beaten path for Pro Bowl.
It's stupid. And how many Pro Bowl jerseys do you sell?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Like 5? Ooh, so now I'll sell 6. Woo-wee! Good thing we made it a crappy TV broadcast with ugly-ass uniforms.
One thing that maybe around in Boston a lot of people didn't watch because the Red Sox were advancing to the ALCS, and by the way, congratulations to them, was The Frontline, the debut of The Frontline show about the concussions in the NFL.
I watched a portion of it.
Yeah.
I was intrigued. I was kind of in the middle. I taped it. I need to go back. But some of the stuff is just, there was a doctor, Onwosu, kind of a Nigerian doctor who did some research on both Mike Webster and another Steeler who killed himself, and was early on in the whole CTE and wrote a paper, and they just shredded it. Perlman, the Jets doctor, they shredded it. They asked for a retraction, even though, you know, they tried to crush him, and he even recalled a conversation he had with one of the members of an NFL committee. They had like a meeting, and the guy kept saying, "Do you understand the ramifications of your report?" And the guy said, I think I do. And then they continued, and he interrupted him 3 times, and finally the doctor, Owonsu, whatever, did the research, said, "Why don't you tell me?" And the guy said, "If 10% of the mothers in this country don't let their kids play football, we could be talking about the death of football."
Like, I heard that this morning on one of the morning shows as well, that exact statistic.
But that's not my worry. My worry is a doctor doing research saying these guys are ruining their brains by playing.
Right.
So I want to see the whole thing. They glossed, like, one of them, the second Steeler, I keep forgetting, Larry something. They said, you know, who had trouble in his life and was a steroid. Everybody mentions the steroids, but nobody tells me, could the steroids be involved here?
Right.
Do some research on the
pain killers. It makes the rest of your body, bro. Why not your brain?
Right. And I need more research on steroid use, painkiller use over extended periods of time in conjunction with or even separate to concussions and head traumas and different things. And, you know, I don't know how far away we are.
So given that, do you think it's fair when the NFL says, look, we just don't, you can't
the NFL
definitively tell us that there's a correlation yet. There's still a lot of info that needs to be gathered.
No, but they covered it up based on everything I've seen.
The cover-up's a different thing.
But to me, that's why
there was a suit.
The negligence. Yeah. The negligence is not whether concussions happen or not. It's whether you had some indication and were covering up or glossing over issues. I mean, Tagliabue, they were playing the quote from... He called it just pack journalism. Really, the whole concussion issue was just pack journalism at its worst, that they were just globbing on to something that wasn't really an issue. And I mean, that's not right. They knew there was a little smoke there, and they tried to piss all over it and put it out.
All right. Let's go to Greg's email. First time listener, first time email. Right. I have a question regarding something about the game on Sunday that no one has talked about. At least I have that I've heard. If the Patriots had driven down to score a game-tying touchdown, with the way the weather conditions were, do you think the Patriots would have considered going for two instead of the extra point? And do you think it would have been something to at least consider? No way. I think you go for the tie and extend the game.
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, it's certainly the way they had not had any success on offense. I think you can argue we might not get back in here. Let's end this game and go home. And they say, you know, the old cliche is you go for the win on the road, right, and the tie at home.
Right.
I think they probably would have just kicked it because they have a good strong-legged kicker. Okay, you go to overtime, whatever. Right. You play it out. I think they would have kicked it, but a ballsy coach could certainly go. You know, a Rex Ryan guy who, looking at the circumstances, we're just going for it. If we can't get those 2 yards and we don't deserve to win it, all that.
Yeah.
But I think they would have just kicked
it. During the downpour at the end, Brady could barely get a grip on the ball, and the receivers were having a ball slipped right through their arms and hit the ground because it was so wet and slippery. Basically, I would have been terrified about leaving it up to the long snapper and Ryan Allen to field the ball cleanly in such harsh conditions for an extra point. I know it's irrelevant now, but it was on my mind during the entire final drive.
Yeah, that is another aspect. I mean, if they had weather reports that it was going to just be awful and unplayable and that monsoon was going to continue, that would be another factor. Now, I don't know what the reports were at the time there.
It stopped and it was actually fine after
that. Right. Because if for that short stretch, it was bad. It was very bad.
Bad. It was, I wrote it was biblical. I mean, it was coming down. You couldn't even see the field.
Well, if that was going to continue, then I'd go for two and try to end the game and get the hell out of there before. Yeah. Who knows what happened?
It was ridiculous.
Richard, worst you've ever seen?
In a football game, other than that Jets game on TV, but that I've been to, yes, worst I've ever seen. Now, it was only for a short period of time.
Right. Well, if something like that continued for a long, it would be biblical. Yeah. You'd be building an ark.
Rich in Minnesota. So I have to say, watching the game last Sunday was a little depressing up front, but after a while, it became clear to me that no one is healthy. Each of the skill positions, possibly excluding the quarterback, has injuries either affecting the play of the starters or completely taking them off the field. Running back, 3 of the 5 on the roster were out. 1 of the 2 left was coming off an injury. Wide receiver, the top 3 played despite being limited in practice and game-time decisions. Amendola looked like he was still favoring his injury and certainly nowhere close to 100%. And for some reason, Boyce stinks so bad that they won't let him on the field. Tight end, Gronk, need I say more? How on earth are we 4-1? This team has not only been bit by the injury bug, but it's swallowed us whole and pooped us out already. I can't blame Josh or Tom or Bill for the loss. We pride ourselves for having the next guy step up when the starter goes down, but what can you do when the next guy and the guy after that goes down too? Any other team dealing with this many critical injuries would be 1-4 at best. We are 4-1 due to Josh, Tom, and Bill. The only thing we had going was that the injury seemed to only be on one side of the ball, but this week it started consuming the defense too. Any fan that jumps ship on this team at 4-1 with the injury issues we've had to overcome is no fan at all. Go root for the flavor of the month, Jets, and let me root for the best team in the NFL, even under extreme adversity. It's Rich in Minnesota. Go Rich.
He's doing your job for you.
Right.
Because he just said Tom, Josh, and Bill, those are the people that were getting criticism yesterday.
Right. Even if you stop rooting for your team at 1-4, I still say you shouldn't do that, but that's another point. But, yeah, they have had adversity, and they have, you know, we knew without injuries this would be a transition for the offense. Then you add in the injuries, and I talked to one person who doesn't think Brady's 100%.
I don't.
You know?
I still think the he had a wrist issue. Now, it's a left wrist,
right.
So I think it's minor.
Yeah.
But I think his left wrist got injured in Detroit. He's been wearing something thicker under that play thing. And I think he has minor. Again, I'm not saying it's necessarily affecting his throwing, but we all got I think there's a chance Logan Mankins is dealing with something. You know, we've talked about the fact that a couple years ago he disappeared. He was never in the locker room. And we find out later because he played an entire season with a torn ACL. And this year, I've seen him kind of on the field. I feel like he's got either a shoulder or an elbow, something that's kind of hindering him. He hasn't been in the locker room much during the week.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we're not allowed to report on things we see on trips and things like
right.
that. But most of these guys coming off the bus going to the plane are cranky. I mean, in the way they're walking.
Right.
It's like, you know, and maybe that's for every
but
NFL
But that is
team.
Pretty normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the reason why everybody hates Thursday night football, because everybody is like that, and there's
right.
a recovery period and all that. But, you know, you don't want to make excuses because every team is having injuries. A lot of teams, you know, the Saints, their defense has been, you know, they weren't even that really good on defense, and Rob Ryan during the preseason
we need their offense to be hurt.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is both these teams are like 2-4 in scoring defense. I think the Patriots are number 2 in the NFL, and the Saints are number 4 in scoring defense. And everybody thinks it's Breeze, it's Brady, it's maybe Gronkowski versus Graham, the two best tight ends. And
right.
it's a lot of defense being played by these two.
Alex in Philly, I know everyone wants to blame Brady, the injuries, or the rookie wide receivers for the offensive woes, but I think the vitriol is misplaced. We should be blaming Bill the GM for his not very, very good drafting of playmakers in the past and his very, very putrid offseason signings that he has made in recent years. He would rather take big, slow linebackers and O-linemen than actual playmakers and would rather have flexibility than sign a playmaker at wide receiver. And I'm not just talking about this offseason, but in many in recent years. Turning the page to the Saints, what are you guys feeling about this game? Is this the week the Gronk saga ends? Even with Gronk back, I don't have a good feeling about this game. Lastly, will Fred pick against the Patriots for a record second week in a row? I think the shine is starting to come off sunshine.com.
And really, it would be 3 weeks in a row because you really were going to pick the Falcons.
Yeah.
But I don't have a great feeling about this week. And he mentioned it. The big, slow linebackers, the big linebackers, and Darren Sproles is a concern for me. This is a team, both their running backs are their number 2 and number 3 weapons. And we saw Jaquez Rogers have success. I need Dante Hightower to do something.
Yeah.
I really do. Chase somebody down, force a fumble,
swat it.
Well,
I need both those guys. I need Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower to do something.
But I think Jones has done more this year than Hightower has. I think Jones has done more in his career than Hightower has over the last two years. To me, Jones has been good. Hightower's been out there. That's like what I can say about him. I can confirm that Dante Hightower is indeed on this defense.
We had a lot of emails about trading for Tony Gonzalez.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Falcons are out now. It looks like Julio Jones might be out for the season.
Yep.
So that pretty much kills their hopes.
It really kills their hopes in terms of, I think, in the bye week. They're in the bye week, and that's the time, okay, maybe we can regroup and start a second season, and you lose your best player in that span.
Right.
It's like hard to.
But if you trade Tony Gonzalez, I mean, you're
right.
telling your fans we give up, and you just can't do that.
And they say they're not.
Yeah.
They say they're not doing it.
You can't do that.
Even though they are, what, 4 games behind the Saints at this point.
Right.
I don't think you can give up. I mean, they're too good. They're a team that's won, what, 13 games the last couple years in that range? They can go on a hot streak and win. I mean, we've played 5 games. There's 11 to go. They could easily go 9-2 or something like that with that. I mean, they stink right now, but they're not that far removed from being a 13-win team.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, where Sean is on the line. Hey, Sean, calling from Ireland.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Top of the morning.
Don't give up the day job, Andy.
Okay.
two questions for you. On the offensive line, what would you feel about moving Conley back into center and bringing
Cannon.
You know, it's interesting because Wendell has had
his struggles.
He's had some tough time We know Connolly's played center before, and he's
very well.
You know, he no complaints there. And Cannon, I mean, here's another guy that they drafted that, you know, they had high hopes for. Where, you know, he had the you know, the illness, and other than that, people thought he could have been like a second round pick. So, you know, if you want to get the best guys on the field, maybe you do what you're talking about, Sean.
I think it's an interesting idea because I don't think the Wendell Conley combination is great, and I think that is one of the aspects that is holding this offensive line back. I just don't know if Cannon's any better. I've never seen enough out of Cannon so that I've been definitively willing to say he's good, he's a guard. Right. I mean, he's a tackle. The guy was a college tackle. He's been a tackle primarily here, even though he looks more like a guard, and I think we've all assumed he was going to be a guard. I haven't seen enough to say I know he's better than those two guys.
Okay, yeah. And second question is, I know hindsight's a great thing now, but the guard in Hightower, back when they drafted him,
yeah,
I think Smith, the safety from Notre Dame, went after him.
Yeah, Harrison Smith went to...
so far, would he have picked him instead?
He's been good. I'm not giving up on Hightower just yet. I know I've been really negative, and sounds like you are a little disappointed in what you've seen from him. We were certainly billed more than this. We were billed more of a playmaker. We were sold a versatile guy that could do a lot of things, and I'm not sure we've seen a whole hell of a lot of that. It's interesting. I don't know what Smith has been doing this year. I know he had a very good rookie year, and they were giving him a lot of credit for the playmaking, the things he was doing there. I don't really know what he's done early this year, but I'm not giving up on Hightower yet.
Yeah, it's just, I think, don't get me wrong, no, I'm not a Gregory hater. I think he's done great, but I just think Smith, he's bigger. He might be a better box safety than what Gregory would and tackling.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, part of what ties into that is the Adrian Wilson thing.
Right.
You know, you brought in Adrian Wilson. Now, if you're like me and believe he may or may not have actually been injured and may have had a minor injury and he kind of got a golden parachute, I don't know. But you got nothing out of Adrian Wilson. The bottom line is...
Well, not to mention drafting Tavon Wilson in the second round.
Yep, and he is now a non-factor.
And you look at him, and he's supposed to be a box safety, so to speak.
Right, yeah. No, and he looks it. Yeah. He looks the part. I'm intrigued by his look. He just obviously can't play.
Right.
And now Daron Harmon is now your second-round safety the safety personnel moves over the last couple of years have certainly left a lot to be desired.
All right, Sean, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Okay.
Cheers.
Go
kiss the Blarney Stone.
Marco writes in, what John Rooks said yesterday was that if the Patriots want to keep these receivers, then they need a quarterback that can get them the ball, a mobile quarterback that can scramble and get them yards as well. It was pretty much ridiculous, and what's worse is that there were people who agreed with him. How about receivers that actually run the right routes and catch the ball? I thought Skip Bayless said dumb things, but Rook might have been dumber. So we'll have to talk to John Rook when he comes
in. I hope he comes a little early. Yeah. I hope we can maybe start this discussion like quarter of two.
Sure.
But, I mean, Brady's mobility is the reason they're not.
Or having a mobile quarterback would change things. Now, there are times that I think that, you know, if Brady could just run a little bit, and do what Andy Dalton did, it would really benefit. You know, you don't really necessarily need
might
Michael
score 13
Vick,
points like
but,
Dalton did.
But it's a backbreaker, and we've seen Brady do it before where they've got everyone shut down, and then the quarterback runs for the first down. It's a real defensive killer.
It's been killing them for 13 years
but
he can't run.
But he's done it. I've seen Brady. I mean, the time where he deked out Brian Urlacher.
What year was
your
that?
Guy.
What year was that?
Was it 06?
Six, maybe?
Yeah.
7 years ago.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of the past and live
I'm
in the present.
I'm just saying, that helps. When a quarterback can do that, it helps.
You know what also helps? When a quarterback is capable of throwing for 350 yards with 70% completions and is a gamer like Tom Brady has been for the bulk of his career. You're becoming one of them.
No. Oh, I just wish we had a guy who could run.
Look.
Yeah, let's run. We need a guy who could run.
I said it last year that...
How about we need receivers who can catch?
I said it over the last 2 years. You know, every once in a while, Brady should just take the 3 or 4 yards that are in front of him.
No, he should not, actually. He should never run. Well. He is the slowest human being on the planet, and every time he takes a hit, it's unnecessary. He is. The other day when I saw that Manning boot, that apparently... did you hear, by the way, that was all him? He called the run to the right in the huddle. I mean, I believe it was a boot that the coaches knew was coming, but they didn't want the offensive lineman to know to give anything away. So that's what I read anyway. But he's faster than Brady. There's no doubt. I think Tom Brady's the slowest person.
Peyton Manning?
Yeah. I think Tom Brady's the slowest person I've ever seen in terms of like an actual athlete or whatever.
Yeah.
He should never run. It's not a good idea ever. Because it takes him so long. Like when he sees that, you know, maybe I could get 4 yards, he's 6 or 7 yards behind the line. So he actually has to run 11 yards.
Right.
And that takes him forever. You know, there's so many opportunities for that to just close up. No, don't ever run, Tom. We don't need you to run. We need your receivers to catch the ball. Don't listen to all these fairweather fans like Kirsch and Rook.
I think you can get 2-3 yards once in a while.
And what does that get you?
It's better than
nothing.
Nothing or
no, it isn't.
Sacked.
It's actually worse than nothing.
Not if you slide.
Amazingly, it's worse than nothing.
No. I've seen him do it before. He can do it.
Yeah, you pointed to it in 06. No. Yeah, that was great. Woo-wee. Let's live in 06.
Scott writes in from the UK. Hey, guys, not including Eric. He's a non-factor. Thought we made the Bengals defense look better than it was on Sunday. Awful performance. Put that in the past. On to the Saints this weekend. What do you think of their defense? Could this be a potential shootout? Would like your thoughts on this. Love the show, especially on Tuesday. Two reasons why. One, it's the first since the game, so I can hear you guys break down the game. And two, there's no Eric. Wow. Scott, not a fan of Eric.
As I mentioned earlier, if the first five games are any indication, don't expect a shootout because you have two of the best scoring defenses in the National Football League right now. And both these teams are different than the Saints' offense is not what it was a couple years ago. You know, as I said, it starts with Graham and then two running backs. Those are the three top weapons. Colston is the fourth weapon, sort of the receivers. I don't think Breeze is as good or is playing as well as when that was at its best.
Right.
You know, 09 when they put 38 on the Patriots. And that game, to me, was worse than that.
But don't you think, you know, Belichick talked about Rob Ryan being a game plan defensive coordinator. Don't you think if you're Rob Ryan, you're licking your chops this week? Because you can take chances. You can take chances.
Yeah, to some degree, yeah. But I think he's always licking his chops. He comes from that Ryan
school. No, I know. I know, but there's a lot of, you know, some offenses have a weakness. But here, there's, you know, right now with the state of this offense, there's a lot of things you can exploit.
Yes and no. I mean, if they play better, first of all, they're better. They're better than the performance we saw. The offensive line is better than the performance we saw the other day. Brady is better than the performance we saw the other day. Danny Amendola is better than the performance we saw the other day. Julian Edelman. That's four guys. Well, four aspects of the offense. If you add Gronk to that, get your boy Ridley back, I'm not sure they're quite the inept offense you're making them out to be.
I will say that, you know, a lot of times when a team's on the road, you say, you know, they just have to, you know, weather the storm, you know, get past that. I think, believe it or not, the Patriots offense is going to have to weather the storm of the Saints defense because I think Rob Ryan's going to have him fired up.
He could.
And they're really going to go after Brady early.
You certainly don't want to start like you did the other day.
And that's another reason, again, you'll laugh, why I think it's so important to have Ridley back on the field this
game. I thought you were going to say to have Brady run.
No, to have Ridley on the field and to get that run going. I know Paul doesn't think you need to establish a run anymore in the NFL. I think you do. I think you're going to have to this
Sunday. I think the Patriots need to be balanced on offense this entire season. I don't think they're good enough to not be balanced.
Yeah.
They're just not. I think they need to be better. But unlike you, you kind of put it on Ridley. That's a huge – I put it on the offensive line. They need to be better. They need to be a more dominant, consistent factor, regardless of the time in the game, the down and distance, everything. I want to be able to line up and say – I'm not going to tell you where you are on the field, what time in the game is, or who the defense. No, we're going to run.
That's where you want to be. And Logan Mankins agrees with you. And
should we not be there? I mean, you've invested first-round picks, second-round picks, millions and millions of dollars, which I think is why some people, like the guy from Ireland, were looking, or, you know, should Cannon be, like, what's the reason? You know, is Conley getting pushed around too much? Is that hurting people are looking for a reason that they're not as good as they should be, because they should be good.
Dylan, in Utah, I believe, obviously without the benefit of being able to rewatch the play 100 times, to me, this is the Dobson play, it looked like Dobson made the correct break. If you watch the play, the corner was lined up on the outside shoulder and Dobson protecting the sideline, and it still looked that way when he made the break to the inside, which seems like the correct read based on the corner's coverage.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
But see, but that gets back to my point. If it's a receiver option thing, if he's got me on the inside, I take the outside and vice versa, then Brady has to look at what the receiver's doing before he makes the pass.
No, he doesn't. Brady looks at what the corner's doing. That's the whole thing. That's the problem with this offense has been for years, is these guys come in and they don't get on the same page with Brady. You have to see the exact same thing Brady is. That's how this works. If the corner's on the outside, now I've always said I find it hard. To me, that sounds like a hard job for Brady. Knowing exactly, because you don't have the perspective of the receiver. And,
well, yeah, and it also says that Dobson had to be the number one option, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't see how every corner or safety is lining up against every receiver.
That's the job. The quarterback's pre-snap reads is corners and safeties, leverage, where they are on the field, what it looks like they're doing. That's why it's a hard position.
But it changes at the snap. And,
yeah.
And Dobson, in order for that to work, has to be your number one guy. You know, because you have to.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that necessarily, but
well, that
I do
play,
believe there are number one options. There's a first read.
Yeah,
there's a primary
absolutely,
read.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Dobson was indeed the primary read. But yeah. You don't wait to see anything. He's on the outside. The safety.
No, that makes
I'm not
sense.
Sure where the safety was on the play,
well,
but.
Yeah. Well.
Again, though, I Brady screws up. There's no doubt in my mind Brady screws up. But he's also working with two rookie receivers that I think are screwing up a lot. Or a good amount.
Let's see. Seth says, hey, Wolfpack, would you give up, say, a fourth or fifth rounder for a trade for Cullen Jenkins or someone like that? And yes, I would give a first for Gerald McCoy.
That was my question yesterday. Somebody posed it to, shouldn't the Patriots be all in? Is this a Super Bowl team? Should they be all in looking to improve but before the deadline? I don't think so, personally. I don't think
they
should
be all
in.
You think
they
should be all in or they're not a Super Bowl team?
Both. The two are connected.
So because they're not a Super Bowl team, don't.
I don't necessarily, you know, the person said, well, you know, with the AFC is all upside down and, you know, there's room in the AFC for somebody to get hot and win it, blah, blah, blah. I just don't have the confidence in this offense, in this team, in these receivers
well,
and everything.
I mean, if that's not the case, then, and they go into next year with $13 million under the cap plus whatever the cap raises, don't you think that with Brady now being 37 or whatever his age will be next year, they should go all in next year?
Well, yeah, I think you should go all in somewhat every offseason. But what I'm saying is if you trade a first-round pick for Gerald McCoy and then lose in the divisional round or, you know, go out in early to mid-January, well, now you don't have a first-round pick to do whatever you want in the offseason.
But you're going to re-sign McCoy and keep him, right?
Well, maybe.
Well, that's the
idea. I don't
even
know if he's a free agent.
I mean, if you're going to give up a first-round pick for a player, you better keep him.
Right. And what does that mean?
Well, that you got a quality player that you know is good.
I right. Mean, and where is my...
Sometimes a bird in the hand is, you know...
And where's my safety that I need to upgrade?
Well,
where's
you're still
my pass
get that,
rush that I need to upgrade? Where's my wide receiver I need to upgrade?
You still have
How am
all
I getting
your
those?
Other picks. I mean, you can't... You're not going to
well,
solve
yeah,
all... Well,
yeah, those second-round picks have worked
no,
out
but,
well.
But you solved one thing
That
with
isn't
McCoy.
Really that big a problem.
Well, okay. So, well, then don't give up a first-round pick for him.
Well, because I'll have Wilfork back next year, right?
Oh. I guess.
Or is he replacing, are you going to cut Wilfork?
Or maybe Tommy Kelly's not back. I don't know.
I want Tommy Kelly
yeah.
back.
All I know is that if you give up a first-round pick for a quality first-round type player, good. You know, you still have those other things, but you're not going to solve them
still
all
have holes.
In the first round.
And I guess that also
yeah,
goes
you,
to where I don't believe it's a huge hole.
Okay, so instead of Gerald McCoy, you give up a first-round pick for an established safety. Then you still need the, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but still, part of it is my belief that A, I devalue the defensive tackle position, and
yeah.
B, I think you can fill the defensive tackle position via
okay.
free agency.
But the overall concept of trading a first round pick for an established first round type player, I'm not against that. You know, this
oh,
whole,
I'm not either.
This whole thing where
if
oh,
you gave me a receiver right now that I thought was the perfect fit for this, you know, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
If I can get Larry Fitzgerald. I'm trading for him.
Right.
And it's sort of irrelevant to winning the Super Bowl all in for this year.
Right.
I added Larry Fitzgerald. He'll be on my team again next year
right.
when we kind of win.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think Gerald McCoy is that big a deal.
Okay.
On this team, on any team. Like, it's just not the need and the value and everything that I'd be looking for.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I'm, you know, we're saying that defensive tackle is a need. It was thin to start the season. We don't have no idea what Armin Armstead's doing.
Right,
know.
But Tommy Kelly to me is the perfect example. You got Tommy Kelly as basically a nothing signing.
Right.
And he's, as we've seen, he's a good player. He's always been a good player. I feel like I can get a guy like that in the offseason, just normal free agency, relatively easily. I don't know that I can get an impact offensive player in free agency.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I might have to get that guy in the draft or whatever, even though, you know, there's some question
but
as to
what I like overall the overall idea of you know, getting players that have already done it and willing to give up draft picks to get them.
You know, to some degree.
They've already proven themselves in the NFL.
Yeah, we haven't done that all that
often. No. Well,
and when we do, it's a low risk, high reward.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a reason,
right.
You know, Talib. I mean, he was a troubled player that was on his way out in right. Tampa and on suspension.
But we all love that idea, and, you know.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But I also wonder. You know, we've talked about Josh Gordon is a guy that has problems. He's one slip up away from, I think, a year long suspension. He's had a suspension to start this year. Is the landscape different because of Hernandez?
Right. And
could you not make that? Could you not make the Talib trade this year after Hernandez?
And it's very rare, unless a player has some sort of baggage, that a team is willing to trade an established player that you know what you got.
Right.
But, you know, Trent Richardson is it a kind of an example, but even then, the people in the Browns were saying he wasn't getting along with the coaches and so on and so forth.
The regime change was the major aspect of that trade, but it's still. To trade a guy that quickly, that high a pick.
It's rare. It's very rare.
And sometimes it's just financial.
Yeah.
You know, Hakeem Nicks, it could just be financial. The Giants aren't going to re-sign him. They know that. He wants a lot of money, and you can get him because of that. And it might be a rental.
How high would you give up for him in terms of draft pick?
I don't know enough about him in terms of, is he going to come in and learn the offense? Is he an idiot? Is he? To me, that's such a huge factor now at receiver. Because you're trading for him with 10 weeks to go, 9 weeks to go. If it takes him a month, well, then what did I mean, I guess even then, if he really hits stride in December, it's worth it. I would give up definitely a mid-round pick, a third or a second.
Ooh, really?
Really? I wouldn't give up a first.
Well, I consider second a high-round pick.
Yeah.
I was going to say definitely fourth. I'd toy with a third, but I wouldn't go any higher
than
that.
I'd give up a third for him.
You would?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And I might go second.
Really?
Oh, we're just going to waste it anyway. They never play. Would you rather have Daron Harmon or Nicks?
Pat is an Agawam. Quick question. I think someone proposed yesterday, what would be the biggest position of need if we were to make a trade before the deadline? We just talked about that, defensive tackle or wide receiver. At this point, with the defense playing the way they are, I'd like to see the trade for a wide receiver. However, if we're able to get a game-changing player at defensive tackle like McCoy, I'd trade a first-round pick for him, depending on his contract situation. That's all I got. Today's my 37th birthday.
Happy birthday!
I got the Patriots versus Dolphins ticks for the 27th for my birthday. I can't friggin' wait.
Nice.
Great.
What about Dez Bryant? No, not Dez Bryant. No, not Dez Bryant. Sorry. Everybody would take Dez Bryant. Why am I drawing a blank? Who's the Jags receiver? Blackman. Would you trade for him?
Justin Blackman?
Yeah. Had a suspension.
Yeah, no, he's actually, despite what's going on down there, he's...
What would you give up for him? Would you give up a one?
I wouldn't give up a one.
A two and
I'd
a three?
Look at a second and maybe a late round pick, like a sixth.
Who would you rather have, Blackman or McCoy? I'd rather have Blackman.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not sure how good he is. I think they need receivers.
Yeah.
Short and long term.
Yeah. I think short term Blackman, but I think long term I'd rather have McCoy.
That's interesting. What he was drafted with Sue. He went right after Sue. So that was is this year four for them?
I don't know.
And that was the year of Bradford, so those were the old deals.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's a free agent. And he probably has a big back-end contract, too.
Let's see. Eric says this is funny. Not our Eric, another Eric. Shalise from the Globe tweeted out, Brady on Rob Ryan. Quote, he has his guys always prepared, certainly studies opponents' offenses. He's going to try to take away things we do well. And then Eric says, well, we don't do anything well, so Rob Ryan can't take anything away from us.
I knew where that was going. If you're Rob Ryan, how much of your focus is on Rob Gronkowski this week?
I wait for him to do something.
Oh, not me.
No?
I would spend a significant portion
really?
Of my week preparing for Rob Gronkowski. Yep.
I prepare for him, but once it gets on the field, I don't like double team him from the get-go.
Oh, I do.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. He's the most dangerous Patriot, even though he hasn't stepped on the field this year.
No.
He's the most dangerous Patriot. I can adjust to Danny Amendola. You know, I can adjust.
But that if that happens, that'll be the first time this year that a Patriots tight end has been double teamed. So it's got to open something else up.
Right. Yeah. That's my point. And I'll adjust to everything off of that, and I'll adjust backwards. Ooh, Gronk's not really moving all that well or whatever. Then I'll adjust backwards. But I'm not allowing, you know, two drives into the game to say, wow, Gronkowski's in good condition. He's killing us. I'm not doing that. He's not killing me to start the game. Who else is going to kill you? Nobody.
Well.
Who? Name somebody that's going to kill
you. Amendola could. Now his second week back, you know.
I am of that belief that he should be significantly better, but we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know the status
of that
groin.
We don't know Gronk either.
Yeah, but we know that Amendola dropped the ball and didn't look great last week. He didn't catch the world on fire.
But we also know that he's better than that. That was a tough day all around.
So we're just one of those days, we're just chalking it up.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think Amendola is a lot better than what he was.
Better hope so.
He's more like game one.
Or is he more like game two, three, and four?
Let's see. Ross says, Mike Smith went for it at the end of the half against the Jets and failed, and also against us on fourth and failed. Both times came back to bite them. You tie it up and go for overtime. Well, in that case, Smith went for it at the halftime.
Yeah.
But
I also didn't like he ran, what's his name, into the line, Jaquez Rogers.
Yeah.
Really? That's your play? You know, I think he had the first one he just threw it up for Gonzalez. I think they got a penalty that earned him. And then they went for it with just Jaquez Rogers. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of that. I paid my quarterback $100 million, and I have receivers. I want them to make plays.
You throw it to Gonzalez, you're going to get a pass interference right. The way they were mugging him.
Gonzalez, Jones, White, even if he's – you can get – like, I don't think running Rogers up the middle is, like, in the top 12 options on my list.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Hey, muy bien. Why are you so loud?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm calling you from my car, and I have a hands-free, and I guess it's probably why I'm so loud.
Okay. Well, Kevin was here this time. He turned you down a little bit.
Thank you very much. So, you know, yesterday we were talking about, you know, what had happened during the game. And then I start thinking about, you know, we are where we are. We are who we are, I guess. So we've got, you know, a bunch of holes that we have to patch. Now, other teams are not as fortunate as we are. We're 4-1. We should be 5-0, but oh well. But you've got the Giants that are 0-5, I guess. You've got the Falcons that are also maybe probably on the verge of missing the playoffs. So, does it open a window between now and the end of the month where we can start doing some trades with these teams? And in the case of the Giants, you've got Akeem Nicks that I think is a free agent next year. I know he's banged up. I know he's probably it could be hurt, but he could also bring some interesting veteran skills within this within our receiving core. So, what do you guys think that we should actually try to target? I know it's maybe a long shot, but I thought it would be nice for us to discuss that for therapy perspective.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it could be much worse. I mean, the sky is not falling like it's falling in New York and Pittsburgh and Atlanta and all the other places. But it's also, you know, you get into that expectation mode. And I think we started the year with high expectations against bad opposition and didn't exactly get the performances we wanted. And then when you started the stretch of tough games, you got a victory and you felt really good. Okay, now I'm buying into everything in the first month. And then you got knocked off your high horse by the Bengals. So now I think fans, more than questioning, they're questioning what they should expect as much as what the results are going to be. Should I expect this team to be good? Should I expect it to be bad? And people don't know. They're like confused where they should be looking at this team right now.
Yep. Let's go to the emails. Sven writes in.
Sven, I was wondering, Sven, you were going to write.
Sven is Sven. Let's pretend Arizona loses all the remaining games until the trade deadline, and let's pretend they trade Fitzgerald. How much would they have to give up? Will Wilfork plus all 2014 draft picks do it? In reality, they won't trade Fitzgerald, but let's just play with the thought.
Yeah, I don't think they'd want Wilfork. I don't think they'd want a $7 million defensive tackle coming off an Achilles who weighs 375 pounds.
Why is Fitzgerald always the topic of these talks?
Everybody wants him, and he's been frustrated in the desert forever. He's sort of the Ray Bourque, where everybody loves him. He's the world's greatest guy, the man of the year. And maybe they could, you know, kind of the reverse, send him this way, and we could win him a title with Tom Brady. But, you know, he's got Carson Palmer, and they were excited about that. Well, it's still Carson Palmer. Maybe Carson Palmer about 9 years ago would have been good. I just don't. Why would they ever trade him? Like, why would you? Unless it really was the Ray Bourque thing, and it was like agreed upon, and we're going to try to do the best for right. you. And but I gotta think it's a one plus. You're trading a first round pick, and then a two and a three and a five. You know, I gotta think it would be a pretty significant trade. Would you do it?
No. For all that,
really?
I
a one, a three, and a five.
How old is he now?
I don't know.
Daryl, how many more years does he have?
I don't know.
I'm going to give up a one, I know I need at least 3 years from the guy.
Oh, you should get wait, including this year?
No, after this.
He just turned 30, Fred.
Just turned 30.
Yeah. Okay.
It's fine.
Yep.
So you do it? A one, a three, and a five for Larry Fitzgerald.
One, a three, and a five. No, I do a one and a five.
Well, they said no. It's going to take a one, a three, and a five.
Then I might pass.
Ooh, you don't want that to get out there. A three was all that stood between you and Larry Fitzgerald. That gets out. Brady gets mad. Now you don't win. No weapons. Cheap organization. What are you going
to
do with all that cap room? Just sit on it?
Nothing to do with being cheap. You know.
So let me just, I just want to clarify. You'd rather have Jake Beckett than Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, I'd rather
Fred Kirsch on PFW in Progress, ladies and gentlemen.
I'd rather have a good third round draft pick.
And name one of those. Was it Kevin O'Connell?
Well, I'm going to do better going forward.
Oh, we are. So you're going to be very, very, very good drafting going forward.
Lawyer Malloy was a third round pick.
Are you really going to live in the mid-1990s when Bill Belichick was drafting?
My point is you can get good players.
My point is you just said you'd rather have Jake Beckett than Larry Fitzgerald.
No, I wouldn't. And you know I didn't say
you said it.
Mike in Connecticut, I know Chris Jones had a great game, but was that a fluke or has he shown some ability in practice?
I don't know, we don't see practice.
I also have some concern about the interior offensive line. It seems like this team has become too accustomed to being able to have scrubs coached up to play center and right guard. They are technically proficient but lack physical power, Mankins aside. I don't think this team can overcome those tough defensive linemen or run when they absolutely have to until they stop neglecting the right guard center position with talent.
So that's another person calling for maybe some changes there in the interior line.
Okay, so is the whole line going to be first and second round draft picks? I mean, tell me the team that has that, okay? No one does.
No one does.
Nobody
a
does.
A lot of teams have low round picks and undrafted
types. Of course
types
they do. Left tackle, sometimes right tackle, but interior, you know, once in a while you'll get a high center like a Pouncey or something. But for the most part.
And this team has
yeah.
lived off it for years, developing guys. Right. The offensive line development program, and Dante Scarnecchia is great at maximizing the talent there.
I've heard the same thing. They're spending too much, you know, currency on linemen. I think there was a few emails ago.
Well,
you
the
know.
Issue would be you're spending the currency and not getting the value out of the investment.
Right.
That's the problem. If you're going to just be a mediocre line, do you need to invest millions of dollars in first-round picks? Probably not. You can be mediocre with lesser talent.
Well, the point is that that's not the goal to be mediocre.
I know.
The goal is to be better than that.
Right, but it's like safety. You know, you're investing picks in safety, and you're not getting the production out of the safety position.
Jeff says, stop denying science. Examination of former NFL players' brains clearly indicates chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. It is not caused by drugs, steroids, or whatever other guesses a sports reporter makes. Stop denying science. Players.
Wait, whoa, who's denying? No one denied anything except the NFL for like a decade.
Players need to stop hitting each other with their heads. They'd be better putting the pigskin on their head instead of an overly shielded helmet. Watch old-time games or rugby to see how it's done.
See, part of your ignorance is showing, and you're ignoring the science, where they're now finding that the small, repetitive blows are as bad or worse than the bigger hits,
right.
quote, hitting with their heads. Don't ignore science.
Right. I think, to me, the big thing is guys are just too big, too fast, too strong. And no matter whether you have leather on your helmet or, you know, the helmets like they have now, those types of impacts cause movement in the brain.
Right.
And that causes the brain to bruise. It doesn't have to be a direct hit. Guys are just too big and too fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the answer is.
There is no answer. Yeah. The answer is sports and football in particular are physical, they are violent, and they have long-term ramifications for the guys who choose to play them. Choose to play them. You were not drafted in the military sense into football. You chose to play it.
You know, maybe the research should be on some type of rehab, like immediately after games where guys go into some type of treatment for their head.
Well, There was something where they were working on an actual like shot or something that could have an effect on concussions and how it would.
Yeah.
I forgot exactly what it was, but that's been my argument. We're so far away from the end game science-wise in terms of diagnosing and then treating concussions and their effects and all that. But I still believe that you can't tell me that guys like, you know, that pump steroids into their body for 10, 15, 20 years, that has zero chemical effect on their brain and everything going on.
Well,
in their
even
body.
If it's even if the only effect is that they get too big and hit too hard and are,
well, yeah, that's
know.
Certainly
right.
I mean, that's a definitive effect, I would say.
Right.
Is the bigger, so therefore the blows are bigger, the impacts are bigger. But I just think anything that you use and or abuse for that such a long period of time like that is just. I mean, if you take aspirin or Advil. At an elevated dosage for 20
sure.
years,
too much
I think
of
you'd be risking
good.
Something. Yeah. So I think there needs to be more research done in that area.
Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
What's up?
But I give a 1, 4, and a 5, maybe 4. Mr. I wouldn't give a 3rd either.
1, 4, and a 5.
All you guys that wouldn't give up an extra round pick, a 3rd instead of a 4 or 5.
Who we're going to cut anyway after 2 years.
Right. I mean, we need Jake Beckett. If we don't have Jake Beckett on the roster for a couple of years, we'll be screwed.
I mean, we should just trade all the picks since we can't draft anybody anyway.
I think Beckett should go too because he ain't doing nothing either.
Yeah, that's my point. They've had a very lackluster record with mid-round picks in recent years. You wouldn't take the known commodity, Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, and you're right. Bill probably wouldn't. It's why he told Dimitrov not to trade up and get Julio Jones. Julio Jones looked pretty good for me, even though, you know, his season's done now.
Me too. But I was hoping he'd get him, too. But
so then give up whatever you need to give up to get Larry Fitzgerald. This is a pipe dream, but if it were going to happen, just go get him.
Yeah, that, too. That, too.
All right.
But I would have been on the practice squad. I mean, the practice today. Anybody seen it?
Well,
what
we
do you
know that
know
Ridley has
there?
Returned to the field.
Yeah,
Ridley's back. Kelly was not out there. There was somebody else who wasn't out there. Leon Washington was not out there. So
Buchanan
that dream
too,
had,
I think maybe.
And Buchanan. Nothing really of note other than Ridley returned and Kelly wasn't out there. Those are the two big names.
Was Mr. Fragile playing? Practicing? I'm talking about Austin Collie. He just 1 year away from being the best.
Yeah, he was out there, and I do agree with you. There's some trepidation there in terms of his concussion history, but
okay,
he was out there.
Ask me just one question. I know you can't get inside a Bill Belichick mind and all that. Nobody can.
Don't want to.
But why in the devil would you bring? Would you cut? Like I said, that Quentin Sims guy, and bring in a colleague, another band name.
Yeah, I don't really know what the end game is with Collie. I think it's interesting to pose that question, Eldridge. I with the injuries, and I said this yesterday, it's not just the head. He also was coming off a blown patella tendon that cost him an entire season. So we don't even know running-wise and fluidity what he has left there. I don't know other than just he's a veteran presence and maybe there's some frustration with these young guys and not being able to catch and do what they're supposed to, and maybe they wanted a veteran, and Quentin Sims not a veteran.
Well, he's not a veteran, but darn it. Of all the veterans that's out there, he's still going to bring. But if that case.
He didn't get signed by anybody?
I think Andy should get mad now. Why not bring in Underwood back and just let them run a couple of children around? He's a veteran.
I would take Underwood. I think I would take Underwood over Collie. He's like Tompkins in that he's a 50-50 catch guy. He catches half the balls you throw his way. But.
Yeah, but he got speed, too, though. And then Taylor Price. He's out there.
Yeah, Taylor Price sucks.
I was trying to bring him back before I bring
Taylor Price has never done anything anywhere except get hurt and do nothing. I'm sorry. I blew that one, people. I apologize for you. I thought he had a chance. He sucked.
Oh, he's another Band-Aid then, right?
Oh, yeah, he would be a Band-Aid. He's not a long-term solution. The long-term solution is you to stop being so cheap, give up that 3, and we get Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, you know what? In that case, they need to go ahead and do that then. Have a good day, man. I got to run.
All right. Man. Thanks, Eldridge.
We got to be careful because you know Pro Football Talk
will be
reporting
soon. I was just going to say, it's going to get out there. Patriots offering 1, 3, and 5
right.
for Larry Fitzgerald.
That idiot on that rumor site.
Joel in Merrimack writes in, completely agree with the reader. Rook goes on this rant about mobile option read quarterbacks. I asked him to remind me just how many of those quarterbacks have won Super Bowls. I believe that number hovers somewhere around 0. Pocket passers win Super Bowls. Brady is one of the best at the QB sneak, but I do not want him running. Rook is a moron, and yes, this show is so much better without Squidward Eeyore.
I don't know if it was one of these emails or if it was an Ask PFW, but who would you give up Brady for? If you were really moving on for Brady, who would you want? A starting quarterback in the National Football League right now, who would you give up Brady for? Who would you want? Who would you want to swap out?
For another quarterback?
Yep. If we're going to go down this road of move on.
I could pick anyone?
Sure.
Andrew Luck.
I thought that was obvious. Yeah. People seem to think, like, you ask that, well, who would you want? Well, I can list about four or five guys.
Yeah.
Like, there's guys I would take over Brady right now.
Absolutely.
Luck is the poster child for me.
Right.
Because he is the... He has your ability, by the way, to run every once in a while.
Oh, more than people think.
He's also a pocket passer who's going to win games and be around for a long time.
Absolutely.
You know, as long as he has a little bit of good fortune health-wise. So, to me, that's obvious. You would do that in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
But I think there's other guys you'd at least consider, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the young guys, I consider Russell Wilson, for crying out loud.
I think Russell Wilson would suck on this team right now.
Would you consider
Now, I'm
Kaepernick?
Talking about this team right now, by the way.
I would consider Kaepernick.
I would consider Kaepernick over Wilson.
Yeah.
RG3?
You know, I worry about him. He just, there's something about him that I...
On the field or off?
On the field. Yeah.
Because I have some off-field concerns about his whole shtick.
I'm not crazy about RG3. Maybe I should be. I don't know. But definitely those other two, Kaepernick, Andrew Luck, Wilson, Rodgers, obviously.
Took us a while to get to Rodgers.
Yeah. Breeze and Manning, I wouldn't because of the age.
Right.
You know?
I probably wouldn't either because I think Manning would be struggling right now with these receivers.
I wouldn't Philip Rivers.
No.
Who else is...
It's a limited pool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
What about Sam Bradford?
That's a tough one for
me.
I still think he's been screwed by the whole coordinator coaching switches. That's a tough one. Right now, with no weapons, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of, like, this team. Like, I think the uncertainty in the offense is part of it.
What if you could... What if you... You know, if by giving up... Tom Brady, you knew you could get Johnny Manziel. Would you do that?
No, thank you.
You don't like him?
I don't want him on or off the field.
Okay. All right.
I don't think he's a prototypical NFL passer. I think he's a gunslinger, playmaker, whatever, improviser. And he's clearly proven himself to be a DB.
Oh, yeah.
A total DB. And you need somebody that you can build around as a quarterback. No.
How about Joe Flacco?
That's an interesting one. I don't like him. I think he's a DB. I think he's another jerk.
See, I don't think I wouldn't with him. I wouldn't.
But you're getting an longer period.
Oh, sure.
With him.
Yeah.
But with the unknown weapons.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's a tough one.
Let's see. Johnny writes in, gentlemen and Andy, what's the status of Andre Carter? Or are we finally desperate enough to perhaps negotiate with Richard Seymour?
No way, according to Richard Seymour a couple weeks ago. And Andre Carter's still out there.
Yeah.
From what I understand, he's not overly healthy.
Right.
I've heard a few different people talk about that he was never really fully healthy after leaving the Patriots with that quad injury, so that he's a part-time, 10, 12, 15 snap guy at this point.
Jeffrey says, CTE is not caused by drugs and steroids. Claiming and perpetuating that misinformation while calling your listeners ignorant is terrible. Very disappointed, Fred.
It wasn't Fred who said it, it was me.
So.
Who was that?
Larry.
Who's Larry?
I don't know.
Larry I know?
He has Roman numerals after his name.
Larry the 4th or something?
No, it's so like 16. I'm not sure.
Larry the 16th?
I don't know what it, LVI. So that's 56. I think it was LVI. I'm not sure. I deleted it.
Larry 56?
I don't know what it means.
So the guy's a clown. Online clown. Know. See if I can get him to fire back on that.
With the loss to the Bengals, says Dan of Virginia, was there any element of a come down with the Patriots due to facing their first big challenge the week before and playing their best game of the year? Just seems that there are some weeks where the Patriots don't come fired up to play with their heads really in the game. What do you make of the sudden increase in the competitiveness of the AFC East and West and East? I'm not saying that the Bills and Raiders are great, but it seems that in both divisions now, it's not just one great power and a whole bunch of doormats, but each division has someone at least presenting a challenge and the other teams attaining some measure of respectability. I know it's just five games in, but it seems that this season is crazier than usual, with more teams way up or way down from where they were last year. True.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are the poster child, right, for the turnaround, and the Giants
and yeah,
the Steelers are the poster child for the other turnaround. The East, I mean, part of it is the uncertainty with the Patriots. If the Patriots were the Patriots of old, even if there was a close in the standings, you would have blown out the Bills, you would have blown out the Jets maybe, and people would feel differently. Part of it is it's a one-game divide, and the Patriots aren't playing well.
On the first thing he was talking about, do you think there's any chance that there was a letdown? Patriots,
yes,
looking past the Bengals?
I think some people posed the possibility leading into the Bengals game that there could be a letdown. Now, I thought it was a little weird because it's an AFC game against another contender that,
right,
I mean, there's potential implications down the road of that win or loss. But a lot of people thought they were emotionally invested, the whole, oh, everybody in PFW picked against us, so we posted it on the wall, and we showed them, and we won, and all that emotion. Well, I think you should be able to get that emotion up a couple weeks in a row if you have to. But people thought there was a chance for a letdown game, and maybe we saw it. I don't know.
Why have the Vikings gone for Freeman rather than giving Castle more of a run? I know Castle is no Brady, but he has had success at times and played a nice game against the Steelers, even though they are bad this year. Did they bring Freeman in to start? I don't think so. He's a backup.
What do you mean? No, I think they're bringing him in to be a potential starter down the road.
Oh, because Castle's sure going to start again, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But I think the Freeman thing, you're looking at a guy who not that long ago a lot of people thought was a franchise quarterback. And if you can bring him in, that's what you're bringing him in for. No one thinks Matt Castle at this point in his career is a franchise quarterback, correct? And if you're down on Ponder, okay, you're in the market for a franchise quarterback. Maybe I can steal one in the middle of the year here.
Is Tommy Kelly actually out? Eric reported today on the website, with Kelly out for an indefinite period. Then again, it is Eric, who is no Bert Breer, Bert from Sesame Street, maybe.
He was not on the practice field, so by definition, he is out in some fashion. And indefinitely would be accurate. He may have actually come to the practice field after the media left,
right,
or he might not play on Sunday. There's an indefinite period there.
By the way, is Andy's head so big because his brain is sharing room with an 8-year-old boy who still laughs at pee-pee and poo-poo jokes?
Wait a minute. Fred asked the other day if Siamese twins share a sack. So I'm not the only one on this show who's immature.
You did ask that.
That's just a question. Hey, Paul. Paul's back from the locker room.
Hi.
How did it go?
What's going on in there?
It's okay. A very quiet locker room. Some of the veteran types were saying it was one of the worst Wednesdays. The Wednesdays have been very active so far this year, and they were saying it was a little bit quiet. Julian Edelman spoke for a while. Aaron Dobson spoke a little bit. Andy, I got a chance to talk to Dobson a little bit about Northeastern basketball.
Oh, you're such a bleeping
loser. So anyway, I did the TV interview with Devin McCourty, and Devin's a pro. You know, he had all the answers ready. interesting fact, you know how I like to work the media into my my rants?
Sure.
Well, everybody, as soon as they open the locker room, everybody immediately goes over to camp out at
Gronk.
Rob Gronkowski's locker. Aaron Salkin, you know, the media relations director, immediately says, guys, probably tomorrow for Gronk. And most of the people, okay, they scatter away. A member of a large national outlet was none too happy with that.
Sal Palantonio.
He just,
I love it.
He like harumphs, as Fred would say, and looks at Gronk.
Wow.
And he just sort of like sighs, this heavy sigh with his jaw like jutted out, like he was going to hit Aaron or something. And Aaron's like, it's going to probably be tomorrow. I mean, we can ask, but I don't think he's going to be available.
And that decision
tonight
was made when we saw you come today.
But
I'm not sure that Aaron said that.
And they don't have like a credit card, so they can't extend their stay for another night at the hotel and get him tomorrow.
Well, he's probably off to cover another team tomorrow.
So do you want the story or not? Do you want to talk to Gronk? If you want to talk to Gronk, because by my knowledge,
no whistling in the press box.
It's not the rule,
well,
right?
If that's the case, then why didn't you ask a question during the Bill Belichick press?
Exactly.
Conference?
If you're so damn worried about Gronk, why don't you ask him if he's been cleared to play medically, Sal?
Right. Check.
I don't like him. I mean, he's a douchebag.
I mean,
we've had enough run-ins with Sal Palantonio that he's not a good guy.
Wow.
Telling an intern he can't whistle in the press box. I mean, that's tantamount to not holding the door or not saying thank you. There's little things. You've shown yourself what you are. Your true colors are out there.
Okay. What else, Paul? Anything else good?
That was the highlight to me.
Okay. So he didn't speak.
It was still open when I left. I would imagine it's going to be closing shortly. But no, he had not.
Was he the only national guy?
Well, Bert Breer was here too, but he did.
He's more of our local.
He did not harumph.
Right.
Yeah.
He did not harumph when Gronk was not available.
That's because he can just go to his apartment and come back tomorrow and get him.
That's true. That is true.
Sal Pal's off to bigger and better things.
I think LeGarrette Blount also spoke. Again, I didn't hear much of this because I was camped out waiting for my TV interview. So I couldn't really give you many details as to what was said by any of these people.
LeGarrette Blount.
Lot of media, Freddie. Lot of media.
Lot of media.
There's Aaron Dobson running for a touchdown.
Okay. Robin in Alaska, before you guys drill into Rook, I feel I need to say something. I don't believe that Rook was saying get rid of Brady.
Yeah, I
don't believe that Rook was saying I want Tebow or any other fill-in-the-blank mobile quarterback right now. Rook seemed to be saying that present-day Brady, both due to age and the temperament of being at the end slot side of his career, is not in the position to coddle a young and inexperienced offense. And because of all that, Brady today might not be the best fit with how this team is built right now, both by personnel planning, injury, and bad luck. Well, that's kind of saying that he's not the right guy for the team.
I mean, Brady has said endlessly that he's done more this offseason or different things than he's ever done before, trying to work with these young guys and get them into the system. So.
Rook's passion at first clouded this sentiment, but before he had the chance to reassert this idea, the damage was done.
Well hopefully he'll show up and we can
maybe
ask
he'll have some damage control today.
Eric will help him.
Is Eric here? Did we see
Eric?
Oh, he'll be by later.
Eric, what's he wearing?
I don't know, Tim Gunn.
We haven't got into the sweater weather yet, so he hasn't really.
Well, I'm sure he has like a waffle shirt underneath that's not quite the same color as the PFW shirt, so it doesn't match because that's generally what he wears. Did you ever notice that?
I don't really notice Eric's fashion.
He wears a long sleeve waffle of a different color, but it's the same color as whatever the PFW shirt is. But
it
instead
isn't.
Of navy, it'll be like a like an off blue, like you know, a different color, shade of blue.
Yeah.
Like instead of the red, it'd be like maroon.
Maroon.
Paul, how much would you give up for Larry Fitzgerald in draft picks? Would you give a 1, a 3, and
how
a 5?
No. How old
30.
Is he?
Right off the bat, no, he says.
A 1, a 3, and a 5?
Yeah.
No. I'd give a 1.
Andy would.
A 1, a 3, and
not
a 5?
Not a question, he says.
No, I wouldn't.
No, and Fred would give the 1 and the 5, but not the 3.
Right.
And Eldridge would give the 1 and the 5 and maybe a 4, but not the 3. Which led Andy to say, because you got to have Jake Beckett, you wouldn't want Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, I don't understand why you make your determinations based on a crappy pick. Like, it's impossible that they could pick well.
Okay, who's their last good third-round pick?
That's been a struggling round for them.
Oh, we should probably give that pick up. Who's their last good second-round pick?
All right.
Rob Gronkowski?
Does he play anymore?
Kevin has bailed us out.
Now
with,
you really know you hit rock bottom when Andy's is turning
I'm just
on
starving.
Gronk.
I got to go.
The Subway Studio and Subway Sub. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more of your questions via email and phone right after this.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks,
and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
That's what everybody knows her for.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about 4 at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the Disco Kings of PFW in Progress, Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com. If you want to call toll free, it's 855-PATS-500. And Jeff writes in, Paul's back from doing his interview with Devin McCourty for the show. He says, I'm a Patriots fan from the 70s who lives in New York. I get Nesson and CSNNE on DirecTV, but they black out the Patriots Football Weekly. What's that all about? Any chance you or your management will allow for access to your show outside of New England in the near future? Due to some scheduling issues on CSNNE last week, I was able to watch the show. Awesome show. I don't think they can. It's not. I think it's because we have game highlights in it. You're not allowed to have shows like that outside your market. So,
right.
That's why you can see some other shows that don't. So it's too bad. But I don't know. You can watch. You can go to Patriots.com and watch it in its entirety the day after it show is on CSNNE. So just
and a lot of people do that.
Yeah,
big numbers.
So you can watch.
Really?
You can watch the whole show on Patriots.com on Fridays because it airs on Thursdays here, and the ratings have been very high.
Oh yeah,
yes,
we've been kicking ass.
We're happy with the ratings. We always want more. See if we can get those up a little bit higher.
Did I see it right that last week's Bruins game only got a 0.3?
No,
that's not right.
No. There is no chance you did that.
Okay.
Saw that.
They might have gotten a 3, but not a 0.3.
Well, even a 3,
that's I mean, what?
Patriots All Access gets over a 2, gets a 2 to a 3.
Not always.
Sure it does. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Well, you had the Sox game was on Saturday night while the Bruins game was going on.
Oh. Yeah, I don't even. I know their opener was down a little bit, which I thought was weird because it seemed like there was a lot of excitement about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what the ratings were, but they don't generally get more than 10.
Right. No.
10 is a very good rating for a Bruins game.
Oh, yeah.
Now
what we get?
Yeah.
Patriots got a higher rating than the Red Sox playoff game on Sunday.
I don't know. I don't care. Who
that
cares?
Is correct.
Just can we move on? Who cares about ratings?
That is correct.
Apparently,
I mean, our show, I care about our ratings.
Right. It's our team. I care about the ratings.
The really interesting thing to me was the Broncos-Cowboys game was the highest rated in Boston. Of the you know it beat. I understand the Red Sox game was at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. But to me, that was...
Yeah, Paul, some people had to work.
That's impressive. That an out-of-market NFL game beat game one of the playoffs for the Red Sox.
But it's not really out-of-market, because New England fans have this little thing with Welker
they
and
hate.
Manning.
All they do is hate now.
Right.
They hate Joe Madden.
Right.
They hate everybody that plays the Patriots. I mean,
I'm a true New Englander.
All we do is hate.
Just like me.
Well, I was wrong. It's a gray shirt that he had underneath today.
That's gray.
Well, I think he's got three shirts on. You've got
You have multiple layers today. Three,
yeah.
It looks like
three layers.
This is how it begins.
He's like a dip.
Three-layer dip.
Eric's got his PFW polo with a waffle underneath and then yet another.
A black T-shirt.
As far as we know, another. There could be one beyond
no,
that.
No, no. It's
As far as we know.
No.
I'm going to leave a little something to the imagination.
He's trying to look a little bigger. He's trying to bulk up a little.
No, it's just it's that time of year.
Oh, it's not that cold. What are you going to do with eight layers when it's like cold?
Why do any of you give a rat's ass?
These two have been analyzing your dress for the last half hour. Did you know you wear off-color waffles?
Yeah, the color of your waffle often doesn't match.
Often.
Yeah,
yes,
I said,
right.
And I said
right.
Often.
Mm-hmm.
He said like if you wear the red one, it'll be
like
maroon.
Am I wrong on that?
What a maroon.
They analyzed this for like 10 minutes.
Or 10 seconds, whatever.
No, it was like
whatever makes the story better.
Really?
Yeah, Fred asked what you were wearing.
Why?
He said, is Eric? I said,
get a
Eric,
lot of calls.
I said, Eric was in the locker room, and he said, what's he wearing?
That, awkward.
I'd say, yeah.
It wasn't my fault.
A lot of people want to know what you're wearing.
Nobody wants to know what I'm wearing.
I beg to differ.
Ooh, I agree with
name
Eric.
Names.
No one gives a rat's ass what Eric's wearing.
No.
Eric's back, and he also, in addition to going to the locker room, went to practice.
Yes.
What's going on there?
Ridley came back.
But on the downside, three guys are not there. Leon Washington, who was hurt on the opening kickoff.
Right.
Who's been hurt since he got here.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to make a prediction that he's going to get cut.
I think I'm with you, Paul. Either that or IR or something where he's going to be like,
yeah,
they're going to part ways with him in some way. Tommy Kelly, who hurt his knee, came back and then went out again. And Michael Buchanan, which was the most unusual one because we don't know, didn't see anything in the game that led us to indicate he was hurt. Nothing was announced, so that's
maybe
a
it's not injury related.
It might not be. It might not be. You're right.
Or might be. You never know.
The new guy, Aaron Neblett,
yep,
was out there. He's a little fire hydrant of a D tackle, short, squat. Yep.
Kind of how I described him. I said he felt like Fred,
6'3", 10.
A 6 foot tall Fred. Yeah.
Yeah, 6'3", 10, right?
Yeah, like Fred. 5'8", 320.
Fred, I think that's ridiculous and disrespectful. Yeah.
Gronk was out there, Amendola, everybody else running around.
Day to day,
that's how they are.
All right. How did Ridley look? Do we know?
Day to day.
He looked good in the locker room.
How'd Jim Brown look?
Would you give
Did you watch the front line, Fred?
I didn't watch it. We were talking about it, though. Did you?
I'm halfway through it.
Okay.
I'm halfway through it, and it's really disturbing, the first hour or so.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
How long is it?
2 hours.
2 hours.
I also watched The Spirits of St. Louis. I don't know if you caught that, 30 for 30.
I didn't, and I forgot to DVR it.
Oh, it'll be on again.
But I'll see. I'll catch it on a replay. That. I watched the Red Sox.
The part where Seau was a big part of the promos for that show, but as of the first hour, he's not in it. So somewhere in the second hour, I'm sure he'll be a big part of it because Mike Webster and he were the two players that they were really promoting.
Right.
And Mike Webster led off the program, all of that
stuff. I taped it, so I've got it. I'll probably watch it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth watching. Really good, but also very disturbing as to things that the NFL was aware of or was supposedly aware of and tried to, you know, maybe push under the rug, and it's troubling.
You know, like the doctor who got his medical degree at a Guadalajaran university.
Yeah.
Perlman, the Jets guy, who was
Is
the head,
right? mm-hmm.
head of the concussion committee.
Yeah.
Guadalajara. That's just like a joke. That's in a movie, and you're like, oh, he didn't get his degree in a Guadalajaran college.
Yeah, but also, like, I mean, if you want to have an independent investigation, you don't hire somebody who is like... You know, if we wanted to do let's investigate PFW.
Right.
Andy, why don't you do it? You know,
like Major League Baseball, official report.
And not only that, they wanted to do an investigation on head injuries and brought in a guy who was like
was not a neurologist.
Right. No. Had no background in head. Like, come on now. At least make it look like you're trying.
508-298-0398, 855-PASS-500 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Nathan in Southern Cal. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Nate?
I was calling to see what Eric's wearing.
Ah, well done.
I'm just kidding.
Very funny.
Good to hear from you guys. I have a couple questions for you. Number one, can you evaluate the O-line for the Saints?
It's got some good personnel. I think they've done a good job of protecting Breeze for the most part, but they haven't run the ball at all. You know, they haven't run the ball very well at all.
Is that a want to or a can't?
I think it's a can't.
Really?
I mean, they're pretty bad numbers.
Oh, I know.
You know, so if you didn't want to run the ball, you'd still average better than, 70 yards a game.
Theoretically, sure.
Ben Grubbs is a good guard. What's the guy, the big money guy? Jari Evans?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they have personnel up front.
So do we.
Okay. I don't know why you can't be so argumentative today. Nathan, to answer your question, I think they have a decent offensive line, but they haven't run the ball very well.
Do you think we'll be able to permeate that, put some pressure on?
I personally never expect the Patriots to get a lot of pressure. And I'm always pleasantly surprised when I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think
last week I thought they got a lot of pressure. But most weeks I don't think they get a lot of pressure.
See, the problem is, like you said, Andy, there's two guys you really have to worry about, and they're really two different types of players in Graham and Sproles. You know,
and they don't line up with your best, like, theoretical, okay, I just got Tlaib, I'm going to put him on the right wide receiver and we'll be okay. Now, we've talked a lot about maybe Tlaib will match up with Jimmy Graham because he lines up wide a lot. He is kind of a receiver. And I asked Bill about it today, and he had what Paul and I deemed an interesting pause before he answered matching up a corner with Jimmy Graham. But theoretically, Graham is a linebacker safety thing, and the running back Sproles would be a linebacker safety thing. I don't think that's a good matchup for the Patriots if you go traditional and you say Devin McCourty, Stephen Gregory, and the linebackers are going to take care of those two. If you went with that theory, I think you'll have Tlaib doing nothing on the outside, right, and you'll lose like 42-7.
And not that I'm giving away any state secrets or anything that's out of the ordinary, but when I asked McCourty about Graham specifically in the TV, I mean, how do you deal with this guy? He's like, you got to crowd him. You got to get a lot of bodies around him. So no secret there. It's not going to be one guy.
What do you think can jump the highest in the Patriots secondary? Just a random question.
I would think McCourty would be.
Yeah, I was going to say McCourty.
Yeah. Fred, what would you think about like a one-game bounty?
A one-game bounty on who?
Jimmy Graham.
Whoever.
Yeah.
Nah. Graham.
We don't do that stuff around here.
No.
Okay. Anymore.
Yeah.
Well, on the record.
All right, Nathan.
See you, Nate.
We just have Andy tweet it out.
The thing about both Graham and Sproles is they're good protection against pressure, you know, because they could, you know, one's a tight end, the other guy's going to catch passes close to the line of scrimmage. They're both good outlets for Breeze.
Oh, Breeze gets rid of it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no doubt he gets rid of it pretty quickly, and it helps when you have a running back and, as Bill said, an outlet receiver who can take it 30 yards or whatever. That's pretty good for Sproles.
TG and NJ says, tell Sal Pal any scoop or info he has to report can be gotten from several other locations and outlets. Seriously, the guy thinks he's all important. There is nothing he does that would be missed if he weren't around. He got told to piss off from Squidward, for Christ's sakes. Go back to Mount Laurel, Sal. Jaws and Hog are waiting. Hoge. Whatever his name is.
You didn't exactly finish that one.
Hoge.
You
know,
gusto.
Whatever.
Hoge, Hoge, whatever.
Whatever.
Eric, would you give a 1-3 and a 5 for Larry Fitzgerald?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is correct. All right. Fred wouldn't. He'd give a 1, a 5, and maybe something else. He wants to keep the 3 so they can get Jake Beckett again.
I'd give a 1. That's it.
I think he's worth it.
Me too. I think you put Brady, Gronk, and Fitzgerald together.
Forget about it.
But yeah. Then what would you do if
what would you do if
the quarterback failed then? God only knows what kind of excuses you could come up
then
with.
Then I might have to criticize him. If he had a healthy Gronk and Amendola, by the way, and Fitzgerald,
yeah, right,
and it looks crappy. All right, maybe he's done. Maybe Rook's right. Maybe we should move on.
Charlotta writes in, otherwise known as Michelle in Stockholm.
She doesn't like it when you call her.
She doesn't?
No, that's what you always say.
She said me and her mother are the only ones that call her that.
Okay.
I don't hate Welker, she says, but the media obsession with Manning has gone overboard. I want to know, how do you think he'd do with the same cast as Brady has now? And the Leon Washington experiment needs to end now. Worried about Kelly with him being fine and all. Andy is a source of constant laughter, so thanks for that. Gronk, 7 catches, 97 yards, 2 touchdowns whenever he plays.
Oh, so she's a little bit lower than my expectations.
How do you
8 for 130 and 2 scores.
How do you think Peyton Manning would perform?
On his return?
Yeah. 8 for 130,
well,
and 2 scores?
Well, since he's been healthy since week 2, I figure he should be in prime game condition to just get out there, hit the ground running, and help.
Who said he was healthy since week 2?
I don't know. Somebody. The Herald or the Patriots.
He's been practicing since week 1.
Right, but they wanted him to play in week 2, so he must have been healthy in week 2. Now, Dr. James Andrews hasn't cleared him yet, apparently. That'll be week 6.
So they should have put him on PUP.
Well, I saw somebody write, if he plays this week, that will validate the Patriots' decision.
That was ESPN. And I said the same thing. I had the same reaction. It was like, one game, that validates it?
And if he goes out there and he looks like he's a little hindered or then it doesn't validate it. Maybe he should have been on PUP. Like, I don't think
some of us were saying all offseason.
Right. I don't get it. ESPN, the Ed Werder story was littered with issues.
See, I still say, you know, not putting him on
PUP
was a good idea because, you know.
Quoting them to me over the cube this morning.
Yeah. I still don't think they should have put him on PUP. If he plays this week.
What if he's inactive this week?
Well, now you're getting into the territory of, okay.
Now you're flat in it.
He's
inactive for 6 weeks.
Yeah, but he can't start practicing until now. Yeah.
And play.
That doesn't bother me at all. The whole practice thing to me is irrelevant.
I don't. I think it's.
I agree with you.
I don't know why they go out there.
Apparently he needed 6 weeks of practice.
If you think that he could play this week and you could get one game out of him instead of instead of missing six, he would only miss five. I think he's worth it, so I have no problem with it. But I don't like the practice argument. Many guys have come off PUP in the first week. Richard Seymour came off PUP in one year right away. There's no reason. The practice to me is not a reason why you lose a roster spot for 6 weeks.
And we also don't know what the Patriots think.
No, I have no
idea. Because if the Patriots thought he was going to play in week two, maybe that's why they had him not on PUP.
Yeah.
And had they known it was going to be five or six, they would have put him on PUP.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I don't blame the Patriots at all. I think he's a good enough player that if you thought there was a chance he could be back before 6 weeks, he's good enough. He's a difference
but
man.
See, here's the thing I don't get is they do talk to the guy. As Bill told you the other day, we talk to our players every day.
It's true. It's true.
Did that not come up in the conversation on when to put him on PUP or not? Like, we intend to put you on PUP, Rob. What do you think about that? That question was never asked?
I'm not sure it comes up, by the way.
Well, you asked the doctors.
Right. I'm not sure the question comes up with the family. Like,
maybe it's not a question.
Well, not
maybe
the family. But
no, but the person.
No, but maybe it doesn't come up as a question. Maybe it comes up as, we're not going to put you on PUP. You're going to be on the roster. And then the player says, I'm not going to.
Just so you know, I'm not playing in week six or whatever. I've long felt that I'm not sure that the communication between the players and this has always been great. I think there's been examples forever of guys that didn't know what was going on necessarily.
But this gets back to what Paul says. You know, we know certain things. We try to piece them together. The fact that, and it's a fact, the Patriots did not put Rob Gronkowski on PUP. That's a fact, right?
Correct. Right.
So based on that fact, you would think that, that decision meant that they thought he would be back before
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
I think that's logical.
So we know that. So what are they basing that on? Okay. You have to base that on talking to the doctors, right?
Yes.
So we know that at least with their own doctors, they conferred.
At least the doctors. Know? I would think you would want to talk to the actual patient.
Well,
the player.
The patient, you know, again, patients can be different. They could be Danny Amendola saying, I'm ready to go now. It could be somebody. So,
but you at least have to talk to the player.
Well, yeah, but you really talk to the doctors. You know, what do you think this he should? You know.
But the players part. I mean, Jonathan referenced that when he was talking about there is no divide or whatever. But you know, players have to feel comfortable, ready to go out
right,
there. There's an aspect.
Bill Belichick talking to Rob Gronkowski about his injury is meaningless. The doctors talk to Rob Gronkowski about his injury. They get all the info. They know. You know, what the injury is, it should be. And then they talk to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, him asking Rob Gronkowski, do you think you're going to be ready in week six is meaningless. It's the doctors that have to work and the trainers with Gronkowski and then give the information back to Belichick. Belichick is totally relying on his staff for information. He's not making any determinations on when the guy should be back. He doesn't know. He really doesn't know. He's basing all of that on what's the info that's being given him.
Yeah,
right?
The thing that's in I don't disagree with anything you just said, but
I don't really understand why he can't ask Gronk.
The thing that to me is in question is whether or not the doctors have told him before now that he's ready to come back. That to me is the only thing that we don't know. That's the X factor.
Well, we also don't know which doctors we're referencing.
Exactly.
Because it's possible that Gill or the Patriots doctors cleared him, and his doctor, his consultant, Dr. James Andrews,
right,
has not.
But
or Gill could have cleared him to practice and not play.
Right, but I think we can determine with some certainty that at one point, the medical staff of this team told Bill Belichick, it's worth not putting him on PUP.
Yes.
And Belichick made that determination because of information he was given by his staff.
I think that is fair,
right?
to assume.
Isn't
I think
that
that's
fair to assume?
I think that's fair to assume.
And then something happened either, you know, so now when did they actually say he'd be ready? That we don't know. But it was definitely before this window.
Well,
or at this window.
Yeah, at this window.
Before or at
Maybe
this window.
Maybe they said, "Bill, it might be close. It might be 5 or 6."
Right.
But and then they took what we said, he's that valuable, then
it's worth
it.
Taking. And then so then the process starts and every day, every week, you know, how you doing? You know, let's try this now. Okay, we passed that threshold. Let's go to the next threshold and until you get to the point where, okay, you're football ready.
But the thing that muddied everything is the reports that the team thought he was ready as soon as week two.
Well, that's right. I was going to say, you're going to get into the stuff that we don't know
right,
for
but,
fact now. But
yeah,
reports have indicated that the Patriots thought that he would have a chance to play as far back as week two.
Yeah,
But had we never read those, whether they're true or not, had we never read them, we would have a different view right now of the situation. Well,
right,
he did have back surgery and everything.
Well, to me, the one that really put me over the edge was the report about the practice activity. Because to me, if you're out there practicing, you know, you could be just standing around. you're involved, but you're not really doing much physically. That practice report indicated that he was doing a lot physically.
17 catches, right?
But getting tackled.
Oh.
Getting hit and tackled.
Oh.
So, to me, if you're cleared to do that, I don't see why you wouldn't be cleared to play in a game.
Unless the tackle was a mistake, and it's, like we said, you know, stay on your feet, stay. You hear that all the time. Oh, yeah. He wasn't
like
supposed,
I said,
but he was.
I don't think that the team would put a guy out there that wasn't medically able to withstand an accidental tackle.
Well, they have guys with red shirts out there all the time.
And you're not to hit them.
Right, but it happens sometimes.
Well, but we saw with Devin McCourty. Remember, like, he was doing everything, and then he still had the red jersey, and he wouldn't play in the game in the preseason.
Right,
like,
exactly.
But he was doing, I mean, I understand your point, and I
the
do.
The problem is we don't see the practice. We don't know.
Right. Yeah,
it's not
but,
like
but
training
that's why, But that's why I'm going off of what was reported to have happened at practice, which to me can only come from one place because there is only one group of people who know what happened at practice.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
it
no.
had to be a player or a coach. Those are the only people that have access to what happens at practice.
Video.
Well,
again, someone that's there. You can't, like, the source can't be somebody else who didn't see it.
What if his dad came and watched practice?
Then he saw it. That's what I'm saying. Someone who actually had to have been there. So, in other words, the report, to me, can't be false that he didn't really have all those things happen.
When was the...
This was 2 weeks ago, right? That report.
So maybe Chris Collinsworth was there.
Could
the circle grows?
Could be. Now I think it's a team source.
Well, I do too.
I know.
I'm
I
just
know.
Playing devil's
I,
advocate.
I know you're doing Andy. I get it.
Let's go
really
back to the phones.
That.
Joe is in New Jersey.
Like
hey, Joe.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What do you know?
Let's
you
see.
Say what
before I get started, Eric, you're going to be on Playbook today.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. I was looking forward to your word of the day.
You still doing that?
What exactly is going on in this playbook show?
What happens in this?
And how do we start a mutiny on playbook?
Rook is calling for, you know, to move on from Brady. You're doing words of the day.
That's the end of when I leave the show at the end of the program each day. John always plays this little intro.
Yeah.
That's this crafted intro that we make, and then I give them the word of the day.
Now, is this before or after Rook runs the quarterback out of town? The future
after.
Hall of Fame quarterback.
I don't know. I will talk about that
word
today.
Word of the day.
He's right there.
If what happened yesterday is true, the word of the day today should be blasphemy.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Word of the day.
It sounds like he's vomiting, doesn't
breathy.
It?
Breathy.
You get
yes. Okay, so pretty much all I was going to ask is, you guys were, you know, for the Saints, how do you attack them and how do you defend them? Like, what would be your game plan? I was just curious to see what you guys thought, because Sproles and Graham, quite honestly, just scare me, and I'm a little worried.
You should be. I would use Aqib Talib on Jimmy Graham. We've talked about that a little bit. I would match him up and see how that goes, and that would free up Devin McCourty, I think, to be more aggressive maybe in coverage of Darren Sproles. Your linebackers are going to have to be involved because that's just the nature of the position. Running backs, linebackers, those zones underneath throws, your linebackers are involved, so you're going to have to tackle. Tackling will be a major issue, but I think if you take Graham away, quote-unquote, with Talib, probably some help. Then you go on from there.
Is Breeze one of the quarterbacks you try to keep him in the spot or get him off his spot?
You try to make him uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He's not an athlete.
But you do that by collapsing the pocket or flushing him out? I mean, how do you – you know, there's certain quarterbacks you want to keep in the pocket and don't let him get outside.
Yeah, the athletic ones. He's not a creator.
He's not a creator?
No, he wants to drop back and throw, timing, accuracy. Yeah. He's that kind of
– And it's always good to get pressure in his face because he's small.
Right.
Or on his receivers.
But offensively, I think you got to run the ball. I think you got to run the ball effectively and shorten the game. I know this is stuff that usually
it's
we
cliche.
Hear. We usually hear it about how people want to attack the Patriots. They want to shorten the game, keep Brady on the sideline. Well, I think the opposite is true in a game like this. I think they need to run the ball effectively.
How many points does it take to win this football game? And don't even give me one more than the opponent.
Yeah, I'd say somewhere around 27.
I'm just asking because it's two top five scoring defenses, theoretically.
Yeah, it's
you don't think
24,
the Patriots need
27?
To get in the low 30s?
No.
No?
New Orleans doesn't usually get there.
No.
They've only scored 30 points once.
Twice, I think.
No,
but
twice.
They average like 25 a game, I think. So I don't see it. I don't think they need to come up with this Herculean effort. I'll tell you the key. I mean, this is another cliche, Andy. Get ready. Red zone is huge. Both offenses.
Third down, too?
Both offenses are among the worst in football in the red zone. Patriots are 31. New Orleans is 28. Mm. Both defenses are pretty good in the red zone. The Patriots much better than New Orleans. So it could come down to something as simple as, you know, make him kick field goals.
And with Graham back, that bodes well if he's
Gronkowski.
Close to his ability. Gronkowski. Yeah.
Yes, he's going to have two touchdowns. So.
But you got to get to the red zone.
Right. That's true.
My expectations.
Question for Andy.
Yes.
You mentioned linebackers. After watching the game in Cincy, I mean, I don't know if I was seeing things, but I'm officially on the bandwagon of disappointment with Hightower.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I haven't given up completely, but bandwagon of disappointment.
Yeah, we're getting close to the midway point of the second season.
Yeah.
If he hasn't shown it by now, the jump is going to be hard to make.
Well, the year three jump we can always wait for, maybe four. Five. Paul believes five is a good year for the jump.
Did he fall when he jumped? Was that the problem?
I don't know.
Did he not land on his feet?
I just think we were oversold. We were sold a bill of goods.
Especially in, and I see this every game, when I go back and watch the tape, it's clear as day. We were sold that he's the athletic type that can drop into coverage and cover. A running back or even
and
a tight end.
Just 5 yards behind him.
Yeah, that's the problem. He's getting juked.
It's not his fault. He shouldn't be doing it. They need to take advantage of his size and athleticism moving forward.
Rush the quarterback.
I think he's a decent athlete for his size. He's not a cover linebacker. For some reason, somebody tried to bill him as a cover linebacker, and in his own brain, he thinks he's a cover linebacker. Remember when I talked to him earlier this year, I'm the big guy that can cover and surprise people that I can do that. No, you can't.
Is there a chance that those roles change this week?
Whose roles?
Spikes and Hightower.
That Spikes drops into coverage?
They leave Spikes out there and they take Hightower.
Isn't he
off.
Pretty slow? Makes up for it with his
We just went 5 minutes telling you about how Hightower, we were sold a bill of goods.
But he's not slow.
So, but what good is it if he can't do anything?
I know, but
he hasn't made a play in the passing game. At least Spikes has interceptions. I don't think he's very good as a cover linebacker, but Hightower hasn't made a play in the passing game.
He really hasn't.
The argument Spikes has made a few, not a lot.
Well, he did. He chased the what was it, Buffalo that he chased?
Yeah.
Hammy.
If you want to make him a passer, if you want to rush the passer with Hightower, yeah, absolutely. If that's how you want to use, I'm talking about in coverage when I say the passing game. But you're right. He's made some
sacks. Maybe Jamie Collins makes a debut for more significant plays this game.
I got to tell you, if any aspect of this game involves Darren Sproles with Brandon Spikes,
forget
I'm worried.
It. Right.
Oh, on that, yeah.
Yeah, like. Well, I think
maybe
this is Sunday,
a good opportunity for Jamie Collins.
I kind of agree with Fred. That give the rookie a chance because at least there's a guy who's played in the secondary and he's worked his way up to the linebacker spot, whereas Hightower has always been a big linebacker.
A specific role that, you know, when you're in here, this is what you do, and maybe he can do it.
There was a third down play on Sunday that it was like third and five, third and six. They threw a quick pass to the flat to Bernard, I believe, Giovanni Bernard. And Mayo read it. Closed. Soon as he caught it, turned upfield, bang, good right. form tackle.
Yep.
I don't see those kinds of plays from Hightower.
No.
I see space, and then the guy makes a miss.
Right.
More often than not.
Too
often.
We should call him a Dallas Thomas 2.0.
Yes. Oh.
He does it all, but not really.
None of it really. But none of it really well.
He does it all. Not really. Fred, you're not down on him?
Strippers.
Because you had a great game 2 weeks ago.
Tweets out, according to Albert Breer, Albert Breer tweeted it out. So Dr. James Andrews' presence here is new, meaning at Gillette Stadium. My sense is the team is now fine letting Gronk jump through the hoops he feels he needs to.
Okay.
I don't have any idea what that
means. I don't know what that means.
They're allowing him to go down whatever road basically he needs to get mentally right to play is the way I read that.
So does that mean he's not necessarily coming back this week?
That's kind of how I...
No, that's not how I read that.
Because they both reported that they feel like he's coming back.
My read on what Albert just tweeted is that they believe that Dr. Andrews is going to clear him because they believe he's medically ready to play based on all their stuff, and they are willing to allow Gronk to go down this road because they believe that Andrews is going to say,
right.
Gronk, you're healthy, get out there.
Right.
Why didn't you say that then?
So they're saying...
I understood exactly what you said.
He only had 140 characters.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, you can make...
So I didn't bring hoops into it. I don't know
Andrews
what jumping through hoops,
twice.
That uses a lot of characters.
Andrews' presence is a hoop through which Gronk wants to jump.
Yeah, and they feel like they know the result
but that he needs to know the result.
It's like when you're in court, you don't ask the question unless you already know the answer.
Correct.
You don't bring James Andrews in unless you know he's going
to
be okay.
Well, they didn't bring him in. They allowed him to be brought in.
Allowed him to come in. Right.
Right. And you think he's actually here?
Well, that's.
I assume this would be all done.
That was another part that I didn't really understand. His presence. You mean in Foxborough or his presence in the situation?
Right.
Like, I didn't get any.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get anything about that tweet.
And is there any way that Gronk playing against the Saints could have ramifications for the Redskins? Should I look for a conflict of interest?
Right.
And who's. Do the Patriots need to give permission for James Andrews to look at Rob Gronkowski?
Well, yeah, to be here in premises.
Oh, to be on premises, but not to look at.
To be in Foxborough, yes. Yeah. In the building.
Right.
But. I mean, guys are allowed to get second opinions without permission, right?
Of course, yeah.
Hey, don't you feel like
a limo should pull up and a red carpet comes out and Dr. James Andrews like struts out and
right.
I just to me he is like this mythical legend
and,
of medicine.
And in front of his name it should say renowned
right.
Dr. James Andrews.
John Rooks here and really ruffled a lot of feathers yesterday.
Come on, are you serious
now? What's going on here? You saying the Patriots should move on from
Leave
Tom
my
Brady?
Tom Brady
is that,
alone.
Is that what you said?
No, that's not what I said.
Oh. That's what you said. I got emails.
It's not what I heard on the internet.
No.
They're saying it on the internet.
Well, then you can believe everything you hear on the internet, right?
Yep.
Okay,
what
attaboy.
Did you
like
say?
Like that
multiple nipples.
Right?
I simply said I think
Bonjour.
It's time, based on the skill set of the receivers and the players that we have on offense, if you're going to make a commitment that way, to these guys, to these younger players, maybe it's time to start looking for someone at quarterback that can fit their skill set a little bit better.
So it's time to move on.
No,
it's time to start looking for his replacement.
No, one is not the same as the other. I hope Tom's here till he's past 40.
But
that means also that they found people that are somewhat,
okay.
So shall we say, more savvy
if you're
at catching
keep Tom
the ball.
Brady, savvy. Change the receivers. You
Correct.
You can't do it with these receivers. Is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So you've moved on from the receivers, basically.
Yeah. So what you really are
that
saying
also
is,
too.
I want to do another redo. Redo 2.0.
Right.
Of the receivers position. You've closed the door on Tompkins and Dobson and Boyce?
No, I have not. I personally have not closed the door on anything. What I'm saying is the organization needs to make a decision, one or the other, because the two are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah,
so you think the receivers can play, but Brady is not
the quarterback,
the kind of quarterback that
correct.
Can succeed with these receivers?
Correct.
Really? Now, what
wow.
kind of quarterback can succeed with receivers who can't catch?
As negative as I can be at times on Brady,
Go look at some videotape of Taj.
Boyd,
and also Jameis Winston.
Okay, but I don't really understand how.
So Taj Boyd and Jameis Winston better fits for the Patriots offense currently than Tom Brady?
I'd say in about 2 or 3 years. If you stay with these receivers, yes.
But if the receivers don't get better, I don't care who it is.
Why not
you
just
can't
get better
catch,
receivers?
I would agree.
Then even
but
Taj
it doesn't
Boyd,
seem like they're going to do that. They don't want to pay the money to do that. They didn't want to pay Welker.
Well, what happens when if Gronk comes back and he's healthy and Amendola continues to get healthy?
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts,
well,
we'll
I know, but
Christmas.
I know,
Paul
but
usually says something about his aunt and testicles.
My aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
That's right.
Yeah, but no quarterback with these two.
Of course, Andy remembers that part of it.
every team builds their offense assuming
yes.
the guys that they brought in are going to play.
Yes.
You know, they don't think that we're going to have
correct.
To use second, third string.
That's correct. All I'm saying, Fred, is just, all right, if they're going to make a decision
Give
this direction, then I think maybe they need some help at quarterback. Maybe it's time
Look,
to bring someone in that can tutor under Brady for a few years.
The decision was
to
made
learn.
Last year when they re-signed Gronk Hernandez.
Yes,
unfortunately,
you are correct.
Bad luck and worse happened.
So they are at a crossroads again now. That's the whole point. They're at a crossroads again where they've got to make a fundamental decision one way or the other.
Yeah.
I have one quick follow-up here. I need some help getting from point A to point B. What about Taj Boyd's skill set or Jameis Winston's skill set? And I agree with you that they're both tremendously gifted quarterbacks. What do they do that will allow them to succeed with Kembrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson that Brady can't?
I personally think they can help get to the receivers better. They're more adept at stepping up into the pocket and moving the pocket side to side.
So you think the problem
like
is protection then?
The guy's just running
the pocket,
around.
The pocket, I don't think, the protection is not necessarily the problem. It could be,
You're
yes.
You're saying it's because it's less precise, they can play more schoolyard
Absolutely.
Ball.
They can play schoolyard ball if they need to. Yeah.
So you're
Brady's
saying they'd be able to adjust
on
precision.
It doesn't work in the NFL.
But that's where you, but Fred, this is where I think the NFL could be changing because of the athleticism involved in the league. We saw the offensive line last week get pretty much handled by a very athletic defensive front that Cincinnati has. And so, we've already seen Denver's done it. The New York Giants have done it. Hey, the Patriots have even done it by moving Chandler Jones into the middle of the defensive line at some point on some snaps of the football this year as well. So if it's going to go to more athleticism involved, I'm saying you need to adapt before others figure it out. You need to be the trendsetter, not the follower. The Patriots are in danger of following
behind.
Seems to
be the trend right now in the NFL is being set by Peyton Manning, and he is not a mobile quarterback.
He ran a naked bootleg
okay.
into the end zone.
All right.
Did you see him?
Yeah, I did see him.
Okay.
So you tell me if the Patriots called that play, it wouldn't have worked?
I don't know that Tom gets there.
Oh, come on.
I kind of agree. I think Tom Brady's the slowest human being on
I
the planet.
I think he is, too, but that if you execute that play the way Denver did, there's not a person on the planet
nobody,
that wouldn't have made it.
There was nobody there.
All right, then fine. Let's see if they can do it. If the offensive line can do it, then that's great. Look, I have already said I want Brady to be here playing quarterback into his 40s because that means this team, this franchise is having great success. But if you're going to make a decision on going with less experienced, less expensive, let's say, options in skill players around him, I don't think he's the guy.
But that really wasn't the decision. The decision was to have Gronk, to have Amendola.
Right.
You know, so.
Have Hernandez.
Absolutely, yeah. Have Hernandez. Right. That's right. And if they have those guys and they're relatively healthy, we're not having this conversation.
And Steve, and Ridley, not Ridley, what's his name? The other guy, Vereen,
Shane,
by the way.
Vereen,
he
yes.
factors into the passing
There's
game.
No question about that. And, I readily admit, the plan is not. We're not
apart.
Having this conversation if the plan is being followed. But the plan obviously has gone bluey now.
No team would make a decision that this is you know, the answer. Ken, Ralph Tompkins, Boyson.
I would think that would be correct. Got, all I'm doing is pointing out the question.
Right.
They've got to make a little bit of an internal decision on this.
Point. It's moot.
It might be.
It's moot.
It might be. Wow. Let's wait and see for a year. But I'm thinking it's worth at least having discussion because do you really think Ryan Mallett's the answer in the future?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. Well, then there you go.
But I don't
You're going to be looking at somebody anyway.
But I think the future is a few years away.
Two or three.
Yeah. Okay.
Two or three.
All right.
Might be time for a guy like Jameis Winston to be eligible.
All right. All right, John. Well, have a good show.
Running Brady out of town. Good luck with that.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.